fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, well, unless you've been under a rock for the last hour, you know that Alex Jones is currently live with Joe Rogan. So I don't want to get in the way of that. They're just getting into
these people
and what it means. So here it is. Let's go to it right now.
Okay, but that term, the problem with that term is it lumps you into, like, you know that Mel Gibson movie, Conspiracy Theory, where a wacky dude was driving a cab and believed in fucking tinfoil hat type
because
shit.
He'd been tortured.
Yes, exactly.
He'd been compartmentalized.
Yes, but that kind of stuff, when you say the government is doing it, like, who is doing this? Who's working on these experiments? But you don't have to say names.
No. Like, no. Joe, here's the thing.
Is it the
obviously...
Okay, maybe you want to say the government because it paints a broad brush.
I'll tell you. No, you're right. It's dumb to say the government, and the big question is who runs things. That's a smart question.
That's the thing is they. When everybody says they don't want you to know. Do you remember that fucking guy who was ripping people off, like, weight loss secrets that they don't want you to know?
Kevin Trudeau,
and they put him in jail for that. He's in jail right now because he won't give up the money because he's got a pile of cash somewhere, and he said he would do that.
Kevin Trudeau is a con man. I've met him a few times. Very manipulative, but I think he has a right to say healthcare cures or natural cures they don't want you to know about.
There are some. But the point is they don't. Look, I have some love in my heart for Kevin Trudeau because he started the International Pool Tour. He was putting a lot of money into professional pool.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the deal. The OxyContin company, the documents came out, said, we're going to totally addict people and then we're going to sell them drugs to get off of it.
Yes.
That's pure freaking evil. Yes. So lock pure their evil. Ass up and then we'll get to Kevin Trudeau later.
I agree with you.
And I'm not even defending Kevin Trudeau because I met with Kevin Trudeau a few times. I didn't know all about him and it was like he was 100% about him and a one-way freaking street.
Well, I didn't get that experience with him. Me and him just talked about pool. I was doing some stuff with him when he was first starting the pool tour. I came to a couple of his events. But this thing,
you always have a good way of asking questions. Instead of saying who runs it all,
right.
You wait till I do the cliche, the government, and then you correct me. And you're 100%
right. What I'm doing is playing devil's advocate, and I'm also looking at it from the perspective of people.
Actually, you're 5 hours. There's no way Eddie's coming. Let's do another hour and get Eddie in here.
Okay.
Do you want Eddie to come at 2? No, not yet.
Do you want him to come at 2 instead of 1:30?
Yeah, whenever you want.
I'm going to text him right
now. Anyways, let me try to be clear here, Joe.
I'm having a good time with you. I just want you to know
this. Let me try to be clear. I can't say all of this on air.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to leave it at that. But I'm on record 20 years ago, before anybody else was talking about the clockwork elves and how the globalists think they're in touch with these entities and things, only because, and I don't want to get... I'm not in the CIA. The CIA is bigger than Coca-Cola. It's like bigger than Walmart. I've never been an intelligence agency. I've never been a part of any of this stuff. But I had family that was in advanced DARPA research projects that I don't know all the details about. And when I was a kid, my dad told me about some of it, not knowing I'd be a talk show host later. But like when the deputy director of the CIA needed to have a tooth pulled, he came to my dad. Okay. So my dad was like the doctor to, you know, these guys. And I remember sitting around the kitchen table and I'm like 7. He's like, Carol, I can't tell you all about it, but it's a classified program in Maryland in an underground base. And they won't give me all the details, but it's double the money I'm making now. And they said it's for national security. But I think it's basically, you know, we're building cyborgs. And we've got special forces that have volunteered so we can infiltrate the Russians and get codes and systems in. I believe it's implanting messages in their teeth. I think it's a brain surgery program for microchips. And so I'm hearing, and my Carol's like, David, I'm sick of these people. And you've already done so much for this government. And look what they've already done to you and my brother. You're not going to be, you know, I want you out of this. So this is like, you know, 7, 8 years old. You're like hearing about the cyborgs. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the kind of stuff that I grew up seeing. And, you know, oh, let's go get your uncle. He's coming off a C-130, you know, army thing, an army uniform from Guatemala. And, you know, there's like armed guys with machine guns. I mean, I don't know. Okay. And I don't need to know. Okay. The point is that's what I grew up.
We're going to play more of this on the other side of the break. I just wanted to let you know that this is what's going on now. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show. We have the article up. Guys, when we come back in, let's show people the article that they can send out to everybody that they know in addition to Infowars.com/show. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thanks for watching.
commitment to the program. And so the program starts with, will you go inject black people with syphilis for a greater cause? Or will you do research programs on babies where we tell poor women that your baby died right when they were born, but really you'll keep the baby alive and sometimes kill them, sometimes harvest them, sometimes do experiments on them. So that's why a lot of nurses have noticed now that the babies disappear at birth. They tell them, oh, your baby died. That's why the governor said, who's actually an organ harvesting doctor, he goes, we keep the babies alive after they're born and have a discussion. They're getting caught now because we've decompartmentalized.
Wait a minute. I'm confused at what you're saying.
See how it just never ends.
Yeah. What are you saying about babies? Like, what are they doing with babies?
You saw the governor of Virginia say, we keep babies alive after they're born and kill them, right?
Well, I didn't see
that.
We
keep them comfortable.
But I am very, very concerned with late-term abortions.
Well,
very,
this
very
is post-birth, Joe. So understand.
Post-birth.
How much money do you think they get
for a
7.5-pound baby they can keep alive for 2 weeks? And mama doesn't know.
So
if they can register the organ,
just to let you guys know, you can find this article. Alex Jones goes live on Joe Rogan to discuss world events and internet censorship. You can see the link there. It's got our link and the Joe Rogan YouTube link. Joe is live right now, so we're just going to go to this until our guest joins us. So I will let you know as soon as that happens. Let's go back to the show.
Pull all this up. California's passed it. Virginia's about to pass it. New York's trying to pass it. California's trying to pass it. Three other states are trying to pass it to keep babies alive and allow. Notice the governor goes, we don't want, it's a 3-minute clip, pull it up. We don't want the government involved. The doctors and the mother who's drugged up, you didn't say that, are going to decide about the future. And maybe she keep baby alive a week. Maybe she decide to get rid of baby.
Wait a minute. Is this a viable baby? There's nothing wrong with this baby?
Viable? The Senate voted 3 days ago on Monday to not pass a bill for post-birth abortion to not kill.
Wait. Post-birth?
It says viable babies already born can be killed. If the bioethics board, I bet you $10 million.
Please pull that up, Jamie. We've got to figure it out.
Because I know the listeners won't believe me. That's what I'm telling you.
Why'd
you go crazy?
I'm finding posts about this, but it says that he did. It's been taken out of context.
What is that? Media Matters?
No.
What did he say? Or Snopes?
Huffington Post says that. Snopes says it's mostly false.
Ah, Huffington Post.
Snopes said.
Where?
Hey, why don't you do this, Jamie?
What source?
Jamie, go to the source of the governor. Okay. Go to YouTube and type in, Governor of Virginia talks about post-birth abortion, and watch the unedited 3-minute video.
How do you call it abortion if it's already been born?
Well, that's what Trump said. He said a month ago when this first broke, he said, and see, the left is so compartmentalized. I'm not saying you're the left, but mainstream media, whatever. We're so censored now. They're making their move right now.
Who's they?
The globalist technocracy, the mad scientists, the guys that want to learn the secrets of the universe,
so
probably already
saying,
have them.
So what you're saying is a lot of this censorship,
give 1 million. I don't have 10 million. I will give before God and country to Jamie's. I'm not kidding.
What do I get?
I will give $1 million to your charity of choice.
Oh. Okay.
Right. No, listen to me. This Jamie's is serious, Jamie. You need to come out for the children. I will give you $1 million if you can prove that I'm making up that the governor said we keep babies alive after they're born, we keep them comfortable. And then it turns out he's an organ harvesting thing, and that's what they're doing. So they keep babies alive. Don't go to Snopes. Go to the governor.
I'll find something.
Go to the governor of Virginia. And that's why they went ahead and burned him for the blackface, what they were using to blackmail him. They already
same
had
guy?
That on him.
That's the same guy?
Yeah, same guy. As soon as he said,
really?
As soon as Trump, and we all covered it, as soon as he tweeted, he said, yes, we're getting rid of babies after they're already born.
You don't want none of that.
No.
Well, you already figured out what George Soros is putting in it, right?
No, I mean, I oversimplified that. The media took that out of context.
I know. I'm just
joking. I said
around.
They've weaponized marijuana into an hallucinogen category, so it causes more schizophrenia.
I think it does.
I said that 2 years ago in court. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think it does. I think
had a
it
lot
does
of friends.
With certain people.
I've had a lot of friends who are already susceptible.
Yes.
And the weed's so strong that they start thinking that I'm wearing swastika shoes.
No, listen, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think I've simplified
strong
it.
Alpha types need it to not have a heart attack.
Well, I don't know if I needed to not have a heart attack.
Remember when you wanted me to smoke pot with you in that bathroom shooting a video like as a joke like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
And I said it makes me paranoid.
Yeah, that was funny.
Joe, the only time I feel fear.
Remember when we were wearing fucking George Bush and George Bush Senior mask dancing around the Capitol? It was fun times,
Belly
man.
The beast.
You Valley the Beast. And like the song that you wrote, you had that fucking song about it.
Jamie, this isn't a joke. I will give $1 million.
Okay, you don't have to give any money, but I believe you. I just want, listen.
No, but I have skin in the game. I can pull it up on my phone.
I believe you. I mean, he's going to find it. We'll listen to it. You don't have to, we're listening to you.
And then he uses these arguments. He goes, well, sometimes the baby is deformed. No, they want the organs. And so you saw all the Planned Parenthood videos out of Texas and California 2 years ago that Project Veritas and others got, where they're saying, I'm getting a yellow Ferrari. Man, I'm making hundreds of thousands off each baby. We, with partial birth, they keep the baby alive. They take it in the back. And then they have a van pull up that takes it to a Chinese government-run facility in the U.S., and they got the sucker.
Is this the video where he says it?
After birth, abort. Is this it, Jamie?
I hope, Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. Committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, mothers and fathers that are involved.
Jamie, I didn't interrupt. Back it up 10 seconds. Notice he's usurping law. Okay. And their whole plan is bioethics. I'll explain in a minute.
But let him talk. It's only 2 minutes.
Mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in, as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions shouldn't be taken lightly. And, mm-hmm. and so, I would certainly support more than one provider.
All right, let's go back to the phone.
Wow, that's a weird thing that she just kind of let him say.
Did you like the rest of the story?
But hold on a second. What's weird is that they were talking about resuscitating the baby, that they would keep the baby alive, then a decision would be made. Isn't that... That's like euthanasia. Like, you can't even do that to your Grammy.
That's why you're so smart, Joan. I'm going to kiss your ass.
But you can't do that to your Grammy, right? Your Grammy's like 80 years old. You can't just kill her.
Well, remember Newsweek? Remember the Newsweek cover, the case for killing Granny? They say that, so let me explain. Now you've got it. Did you hear that legalese? Turns out, when I saw that clip a month ago, because they had them doing debate about the bill.
Right.
And they said, yeah, we'll kill babies after they're born. And they're debating, well, how far along? Well, whatever the doctors say. But it's jurisprudence. There's law. You can't do that. So this is saying, oh, the government not involved. This is the medical system usurping. If they can kill a baby after it's born, because sometimes they deformed. You know, see, sometimes they deformed.
All right, we're about to go to break. We'll be back in 4 minutes for the rest. We're just going to run this. This is riveting stuff. I'm sorry we have to go to break and miss a little bit, but we'll be right back in just 4 short minutes. Infowars.com/show. You can find the link to this up on Infowars.com. You're watching The War Room.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. We are simulcasting the Joe Rogan podcast with Alex Jones. That was a secret mission Alex went on yesterday, left here yesterday afternoon. And we were waiting until it actually happened before we said anything, because we didn't want this getting preempted by the powers that be, like the YouTube censors, who are probably throwing a fit that this is going to be probably another one of Joe's highest viewed podcasts. So let's go back to it and not waste any more time.
So he got like 12-year-olds ready for war, and they would get them like having fun and swimming and working out and boxing. And then they would, like, when they're like 15, give them a super hot hooker and then give them drugs. I mean, it's LSD didn't get discovered in Switzerland. Hitler was putting them all on it, DMT, everything. And they would then have these religious experiences and say, you're invincible, you're Superman. This has all been declassified, but it's in more esoteric writings. And so they would get them all wound up, and then to graduate as an SS officer, after you'd had a dog like 5 years, you had to strangle your German Shepherd.
Yeah, that was my friend Ari. His dad was in the Israeli Special Forces, or one of those, one branch. Would you remember what branch it was? One branch of the Israeli military, and they had to kill a kitten. They had to raise a kitten and
kill it. Like, look, Jews are just like anybody else. There's good people, there's bad people. But yeah, Israel, because they got so screwed by the Nazis, in a lot of sickening ways, has kind of copied a lot of it. And by the way, the Palestinians are trying to kill them, blow them up. I'm not even, my point is that the Nazis got evil down so much that, like, we brought 34,000 in to run NASA, to run the universities.
Operation Paperclip.
Everybody wanted Nazis. They were like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Because they were all robots and would do whatever they were told.
Well, Wernher von Braun was absolutely,
Goddard Space Center. So yeah,
and he was a Nazi.
So what would happen was, first they gave him sex, they gave him power, they would really pressure him, you know, to go through things, and then they would basically, you know, just condition them to do whatever they were told, and they called it the cement of blood, because then. It's just like satanic cults say, you know, kill your dog. I mean, I remember when I was growing up in Rockwall, Texas, I ran into like a satanic cult. I was like, God, this girl's a senior in high school. She's super hot. I'm in ninth grade, and like she's picking me up in her Mercedes, and I'm taking me some mansion. And the sex with her is incredible. And I'm walking out of the house because I looked like I was about 16 when I was, you know, 13. And the dad goes, "You like screwing my daughter? Yeah, I screw her too.
Whoa!
And just as soon as you join us, you love Lucifer, you get all the hell you want, boy, because we want you." But
what? Really?
But, oh yeah. But that's man, I've had an incredible life. Look, also I do now. You know, look at it. But the point is that, oh hell, you're in LA, you know about all this. But the point is, The point is that then the Satanist, because I never really got into Satanists, and they said, what do you want? Because I don't want to be, you know, we want you to kill your dog.
Whoa.
And so the point is that now, all these years later, kill a loving thing that serves you, cares about you, is interface. Dogs are very psychic. They're psychic buffers. Dogs are able to, like, interface with you. And they want you to take something that's ready to die for you, and they want you to kill that. That's like killing a child. A dog is very similar to a child.
Yeah.
Very spiritual, very holy, you know, very good. A dog will take on its master's aura, and it can be evil, but Joe, I'm just totally spilling my guts here, because people need to know about all this, and this is what's going on, and this is what's happening. And so they want the cement of blood, is they get people in a group, and they get them to do horrible, evil things during peer pressure, and then they create this synthesis. And you have to know the darker elements of the criminal networks that are inside our government are actually running Mexico as a laboratory test. Because they Native Americans are gung-ho, and they're tough, and they're ready to fight. And I'm part Native American. Only like 6% Comanche, and you know, Texas, and just that little bit makes me wild.
Yeah.
And so they can get them because they're powerful, they're smart, they're neat, they're cool, but genetically they go into groupthink really, really fast.
Mm.
And so Native Americans, you can mind control really fast.
Hmm. Why is that?
Well, it's like Vietnam. I mean, you know the Bering Land Strait, and basically they test the genetics of Mesoamericans. It's basically Chinese or you know, Hun, because there was always some whites and Vikings even 10,000 years ago going in the area. In Korea fighting the Chinese, that's who we're really fighting there, or Vietnam. They're conscious and real people, but when they get into a fight, they all sync up and are robots and have no fear. I mean, you're talking about psychotic killers you're fighting. And so Asians are by about the most fearless killers there are.
You like the Mongols, like the history of the Mongols.
Any of them. Dude, once Asians go to war, it's like they do not, they're not even crazed going wild in a battle. They're like robots coming to kill you. And so
what do you think that's from? Do you think that's from their heritage of war, that they have a long, like if you think about Japan, Japan has a long history of being a noble warrior culture with the samurais and
Nobility? It's the genetics.
Right, but
the genetics is what creates the, you know, it's like 500 of you loading planes and go kill yourselves.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, think
no,
about,
I agree with you.
What I'm saying is think about a place like Japan where so much martial arts came from. Kendo, sword fighting, karate, a bunch of different branches of karate, judo, jujitsu, Japan. All that stuff came from Japan. I mean, that is a group of people that were obsessed with combat. I mean, they figured out
the
combat.
The ruling class was.
Well, not just that, the soldiers and even the civilians.
No, I agree, but the ruling class was the samurai.
Yeah.
The shoguns.
The ruling class was the shoguns, right? And when you think about what a small place Japan is, and how stunning it is that so much innovation, especially in terms of martial arts.
And I don't get into bell curves because you've got black people that are as smart as any white person, and then you've got black people that are way better at sports or whatever. I mean, there are genetic differences. And then you've got the head of your former, it was Cold Springs Harbor, Watson, comes out and says blacks aren't human, all that BS. That's just the racist crap that's in the government. But it's true that some groups of Northern Europeans and then the Japanese, on average, per capita, have the highest IQ. And so they're Japanese, and then there are some Northern Europeans that have the highest IQs. But then you can get into, like, say, Jews have very high IQs on average.
Jews have an extraordinary high
number
of,
social
Nobel Prize winners.
Yeah. It's a bunch of – so there's not just one type of intelligence.
Yeah. For sure, yeah. Well, there's tests that you can run in terms of mathematics, but there's no real tests you can run in terms of social intelligence.
Real test is psychic connectivity, and they've proven the DNA is a transceiver. And so my skill is, that's why I'm usually kind of like almost autistic, is I'm just being constantly, like everything's going on. But then if I actually focus in, I can like figure out the exact enemy operation. That's why they're really pissed. People that are Jewish, that are German, that are Chinese, that are Japanese, that are Italian, that are Mexican, people that either through fear or whatever get into dark side, light side, get into don't give people the knowledge, control the people, dumb them down, dominate them because they're only rocket fuel for you to go to the next level.
You know what's interesting about this? Not that you're right or wrong. What's interesting is how many people resist the idea that it's possible for someone to try to control everybody. And if you just go back in history, go back to World War II and how Hitler controlled Germany. And
That's it. They tell you no one's trying to control you, but that's all that's going on.
But that one is a particularly fantastic one because it was a culture that came out of a bad time, right? They had out of World War I. And this
Versailles
guy,
Treaty.
And this guy offered them pride in being German. He offered them this idea of a master race. Like the master race is a crazy idea.
But if you look at the black Israelites, or you look at La Raza or Mecha, or you look at some of the right-wing Jewish groups.
All right, we are going to break, and we'll be right back after this. I mean, this is pretty riveting stuff. I mean, to me, it's a typical Alex Jones show, but it's good that more people are hearing this than ever before. So, once again, Alex Jones is going to be breaking the internet on the Joe Rogan podcast. You're watching it here live on The War Room. Infowars.com/show is a free stream to send out.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Here back on the War Room, we have Alex Jones. If you're just joining us on the Joe Rogan podcast, it was a secret mission. I'm sure tomorrow he'll have some reports on how all this turned out. He'd been talking to Joe for several weeks now, and this is the result. So let's go to it.
You know what I really thought? Oh, I know what it is.
Fucking around.
I know what it is. No one's watching mainstream news anymore.
No one's watching mainstream news.
Right. But let me tell you what they are watching. the Big Five. The nightly comic shows and Comedy Central shows, The Daily Show. Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert, all those guys.
Because they want some relief.
But it's not, they want relief.
Right.
I used to watch, their ratings are down. It's still not as bad as, you know, as other stuff. Because now that no one's watching news.
Doesn't Sean Hannity do really well? Isn't his show very popular?
No. Only Fox, because it's seen as alternative, just like you.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is.
Well.
The problem is I'm not articulating this well, because it's okay. The truth. It's not like some package thing. They have turned all of the so-called comic shows into fake comics posing as fake news people, putting out political commentary, which people take as real and believe on the street. And so that's where all the propaganda is. And so you say Bill Maher's just joking around. Bill Maher's just over here. Bill Maher doesn't know what he's doing. It's all a unified message. They have Stephen Colbert up on air and say that I'm a KKK member and make jokes. And you know what? People shouted at me on the street.
Well, that's unfortunate. But what I will say about what they're trying to do, they're not trying to deliver information. They're trying to crack jokes. I guarantee you, there's a whole writing staff behind Bill Maher's shows.
All those hosts admit that the Democrats called them
televoters
right now. I believe
that's a lie, actually.
I don't know if that's true.
I think they are deliberately doing this.
But if it is as true and they do listen, that's not good, and that's unfortunate.
Who's the guy you host the man show with?
Doug Stanhope.
No, the other guy.
That's not who I work with. There's Jimmy Kimmel and
Jimmy
Adam
Kimmel
Carolla.
Says he gets calls every day from Chuckie Schumer, and they work on what he says.
For his television show?
Type it. This is what's so frustrating.
He might have been fucking around, though.
No, dude. It's talking points, man.
Okay, I believe you. I believe you.
When Hillary lost, Jimmy Fallon went from being funny to being totally weaponized.
So you think it was NBC's idea? Do you think it was someone in the government that contacts NBC and says, tell
Here's
Jimmy
an example.
Fallon?
There's a very well-known UFC anybody, fighter that you know who has shows on Discovery and History Channel. I'm not going to say his name.
I think anybody to the...
I got a call about a month ago, and they're like,
left
wow,
of...
This is incredible. Don't say my name, but you can talk about it.
Went crazy
they were
and were weaponized.
This new big lucrative show, but they said, you're going to come out and denounce Alex Jones on the show, or we're not going to give you the show, and he said no. So hell yeah, man.
Huh. You're going to denounce him on the show. Why would they need that from you?
From him.
Yeah, but why would they need that from him?
Why would they need him to denounce
you on the show?
I'm not that important.
But that gives you even more attention.
Well, let me explain. That's their delusion. Okay, well, then why did everybody else censor? Why did Hitler censor? Why did the Russians censor? Like, you think. Most of the time, censorship actually works.
Yeah, but that's a weird one, man. Someone's saying they're not going to give you a gig unless you specifically denounce Alex Jones.
It happened.
What kind of show is it? Is it a cooking show?
No. Joe, let me break this down for you.
Okay.
I swear on my kids I told you the truth about that.
I believe you. I believe you. But I'm saying it just seems so crazy that they would ask him to denounce you on a television show. I'm not saying it's impossible.
That's what everybody who's not independent is told because they're beholden to other people. You're a rarity. I'm one of the only people that's not beholden to any other network or people. You're one of the, you realize? I'm not just saying this is some kinship. Who else has a big, mega popular show that's multimedia that isn't controlled by a parent company?
Adam Carolla.
Yep.
Who else?
Cash App. Cash App.
Most podcasters.
No, but see.
When you look at the numbers that most podcasters
are
putting
out now. And that's what they're threatened by, though. But, I mean, almost all of them are backed by something. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that you run your own show.
Yep. That's a fact.
Look, I've got some notes here, and all I want to say is this.
I want to point one point that you had about that was really good. You were saying that if you censor yourself, you're just like, I'll just censor myself a little bit. Just a little
you
bit.
Wanted to make this point when we started the show, but please make it. This is the big enchilada.
You made it in the back.
We'll start over.
And it's right. We were talking, and first of all, we gave each other a big hug. We talked it out. We're both happy that we're not angry at each other. And then when we started talking, you made a really good point. You said, the thing is, if you censor yourself just 1%, you say, I'll just censor myself 1%. That's what they want. I'm going to make them happy. And then they're just going to keep moving it. They're just going to keep moving it forward.
Moving
the goalposts and providing you with more money and giving you more things, but keep moving it in a certain direction. And if you keep giving into it, they're going to have a hold of you and they can control you. And that's how network television got started. If you really think about what network television is, the reason why they don't swear and they don't have explicit content isn't because people wouldn't want to see it. The reason is because the advertisers won't let them. There's a whole commerce aspect to it. It's not just, hey, you're the CSI guys, or hey, you're
exactly. And so now they've organized with Sleeping Giants and Media Matters a couple million people that call and threaten and attack anybody. And then notice, Joe, once they're done with me, now it's Joe, you better not have this person on, or you better have that person on. And so what is your soul? What is your destiny worth? And I always thought I was smart because I could analyze politics and history. I was kind of socially retarded. And so
I don't think you're allowed to say that anymore.
Exactly. But I mean, I was. And so that's what I'm getting at is the biggest lie is, I want people to know the truth. I don't come up with some cold-blooded calculation about what I think is going to advance my personal life. I really care about people. And in the process, I've seen things wrong. I've grown. I've hurt people. I apologize.
Listen, that's true. That's true what you're just saying about you. And this is one of the things that I've always tried to explain to people. If people get mad at me for knowing you, I'm like, I have a great time with that guy every time I see him. You and I have had a great time in Austin. We had a great time at the UFC. We've hung out at numerous comedy shows that I've done in Austin. I've done your show.
We were in films. You've done, yeah, 20 years ago.
We've had a lot of fun together. And so when people get mad at you about Sandy Hook or about anything, I just go, even when you were mad at me, I wasn't mad at you. I was like, I just got to talk to him. Like, it's one of the reasons, like, Eddie Bravo got the two of us to talk again. I'm like, once we talk and just be honest with each other, we'll be fine.
And I want to clear this up. Because when I was going big guns on you, just so you know what it's like to be judged, I thought that you probably never had me on the show. It was not an attempt to get back on your show.
I knew that if I had gotten to the point where you were that upset, that I must have made mistakes too. I'm not that person that sees things and always points in the other direction. I point at myself. I'm a fucking ruthless self-critic. Ruthless. I'm terrible. Like, so I beat myself up about everything. I'll flub one word on stage, and I'll sleep 3 hours
let me raise
at night.
This.
I'll be tossing and turning
let
in my sleep.
Let me raise this to you. And again, self-doubt's a good thing. It's not going to be a narcissist and crazy. I got offered at the time like $5 million worth of Bitcoin. I think it was like $38 million by the time it got there. I refused it. And I got told like 8 years ago, I got told by two different people, very well-known rich people. They said, George Soros likes you. He wants to work with you and Alexander Soros and this other Soros. You just need to stop attacking him.
Mm.
And by the way, we want you to pump Bitcoin, which I believe in cryptocurrencies. I believe it's the future. We got a private Federal Reserve. It's all fiat. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, okay, be careful. And I was so dumb back then. I don't even say so dumb. I was not in the corrupt mindset the way the world worked. Like, I knew how politics worked, and I knew how science worked, and I knew how crypto type, you know, government and CIA stuff worked. But I was like never trying to get a deal for myself. I had my own thing.
Right.
So then I look back in retrospect where that was going on. So when I saw you was my breaking point. Go, hey, Alex Jones is full of crap. George Soros was a victim of the Nazis and the Holocaust.
That's not what I said. I didn't say you're full of crap. I said he wasn't a Nazi. I go, the story that I watched the interview. And I don't know what he did. I don't know the guy. I don't know him. I don't know. I know very little about him. But what I remember from the story was that he was saying that when the Nazis occupied, he was with his, I believe it was his uncle.
Godfather.
His godfather. And took him around as a Christian and pretended he was a Christian while they were stealing from these Jews. When they would take their, and he just thought it was normal because he was 13 years old. But he was talking about it, that he was shielded by this person.
No, I would be willing to take his explanation, is what I'm saying.
But
here's the difference. Even before that happened with you, I got approached by a major Hollywood actor that my name's ever been associated with.
All right, we're going to break.
And they
we'll
said,
be right
listen,
back. You can watch these
George
streams
Soros
under
told
to
me.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, well, it's Joe Rogan's podcast, but Alex Jones on there showing that for the first most of this hour. But I do, I want to let you know some other news that's going on. Something that I saw last night. Are we live right there? I heard something click in my ear just now. Okay. So last night, Ocasio-Cortez was out eating with her chief of staff and a young man named Caleb Hull. If you guys don't have it in there, you can come to my Twitter right here. I tweeted a couple things out about this. At first, I started making jokes, but then I'm like, no, wait, this is the epitome of the socialist mindset right here. Tell people that they can't eat hamburgers, because here she is in the Daily Caller a few days ago. Rep. Ocasio-Cortez instructs Americans to eat fewer hamburgers. And then she's out with her chief of staff, who's eating a hamburger. Well, this young man, Caleb Hull, takes a picture of it, doesn't go bother her, doesn't say anything to her, tweets it out. And then I guess Jack Posobiec tweeted a joke piece after that. And here's Jack Posobiec's tweet. You guys could scroll down a little more. You'll see that. It's something from Spy Kids. This guy with these, you know, one of the kid actors with special glasses. And it says, when you spot AOC out for dinner and sneak photos of her to post later on Twitter, making a joke about it. Well, she then kind of flips out on him and starts accusing Jack Posobiec of stalking her and taking this photo. And Jack has to go on Periscope and show, hey, I'm at my house. Here is the tweet I put up. Here's the tweet that Caleb Hull put up. I had nothing to do with it. Why are you still attacking me? Because she went on Twitter and attacked him repeatedly. In fact, I might be able to... Yeah, here she goes. Tonight, a dude was creepily and obviously taking pictures of me while pretending he wasn't. And I had to say, hey, I'm a person. This is weird. And then... And people are saying, hey, welcome to the world of celebrity. This is what happens. And Caleb Hull replies, AOC and the Dems are triggered by someone taking a picture of her chief of staff eating a hamburger after lecturing the country to eat less of them. But they have no issue screaming in the faces of those in the Trump administration until they're forced to leave restaurants. See, this is what happens. The tables are now being turned. They have Maxine Waters going around saying, in a restaurant, in a parking lot, wherever you see them, you got to confront them. They're yelling at Mitch McConnell at restaurants. They're yelling at Kellyanne Conway and pushing her at restaurants. They're yelling at Sarah Huckabee Sanders at restaurants. And that's okay. They don't speak out about that and say, no, don't do that, because that's what they want. They want this division. But you take a picture of AOC. Oh, it's the end of the frickin' world. And you take a picture of her with her hypocritical chief of staff eating a hamburger, which she tells everybody else not to eat. Oh my God, it's the end of the world. Oh, she doesn't like that, does she? She also kind of looks funny eating that with her horse teeth, kind of, you know, a horse when he eats kind of sticks his and kind of stick their lips out like that. And she's caught in that unflattering position. Well, I also tweeted this. Clearly, we have evidence showing a House rep in the act of collusion with a cow fart enabler. A violation listed in Part 3, Section 564, Subsection 887235, page 47, paragraph 13 of the Green New Deal. Obviously, that's a joke. I don't think the Green New Deal has that many pages or subsections. But this is what it's going to turn into in the future if these people get their way, if the Green New Deal passes. And this is the only reason they want it to pass. They want to control what you do, what you say, what you buy, what you're able to use, and how you're able to use it. That's what the Green New Deal is all about. It's about controlling human activity. It's not about creating jobs for people. It's about creating indentured servitude for people. That's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with helping the planet. These people they don't care about the planet. They drive around in their private jets. They fly around their jets. They have multi-million dollar mansions. Al Gore's mansion, they say it uses as much energy as like whole neighborhoods. But that's okay. It's Al Gore. He gets a free pass because he's Al Gore. You are just a stupid human. You have to do what we say. And Ocasio-Cortez is one of these people who wants to be your little commie socialist minder. And so it's good for her to get knocked down a peg or two, but for her to attack a journalist, Jack Posobiec, over and over again and accuse him of stalking when he was at his house with his family is really funny. It's flat on his face. And I even texted Jack last night. I said, man, she just walked on your Twitter feed and laid you a golden egg. And there it is right there. By reposting this creep shot, got it? Oh, we're not allowed to. we're not allowed to show a picture that somebody else showed. You see how the censorship, the mind control works? You're not allowed to repost that picture that somebody took. You know, that's kind of like Maduro when he went after the guy from Univision, who was Ramos, Jorge Ramos, showing video of grown men eating out of garbage cans in Venezuela. Not garbage cans, I'm sorry, the dump truck. They're following the dump truck, picking out food. And Maduro didn't like that questioning, so he detained Ramos. Ramos was able to get that footage out. One good thing I think he did. Maybe we could show that to people, because I don't think people believe that. They're literally grown men eating out of a garbage truck that's driving by collecting people's garbage. One guy's got an egg crate filled with garbage, and he's eating it. And the other guy's eating it, and they're talking to Ramos right there, who's shooting it with his iPhone, and then he's got a cameraman with him. Well, Maduro didn't like that. See, you're not supposed to show people what's going on. You're not supposed to show people of the hypocrite class eating hamburgers. See, there's the socialist paradise. And Bernie Sanders won't call him a dictator. They won't say socialism is bad. And they're literally killing animals in the streets. You know, my dad went to China a long time ago. And he said, well, you know what's interesting? He's like, there's no birds. There's no stray animals. There's nothing. Because they eat everything because these people are starving. And this is before the 2000s. This was in the late 80s, early 90s when he was going to China. And he said, there's no stray animals. There's no pigeons. There's nothing. These people are hungry. They're eating everything. That's what's going on in Venezuela. And this is a country that's rich in resources, but they're not allowed to use them. And everything has to be done through the government. And when everything has to be done through the government, everything moves slowly. Because how fast does your government really move? Not very fast. When those people in Katrina needed water, who was bringing them water first? Walmart was sending trucks of water that got turned away by the authorities. They're like, oh no, these aren't sanctioned. We got to turn this water away. Like, the average human can't go, oh, these people need water. Let's let them come in. No, everything has to go through the government. Oh boy, Eddie Bravo's just sat in with the group. There it is, right there. Oh, he's putting him in the chokehold.
He can't do it.
You know, you think I'm afraid of this? Let's do it.
No, I definitely don't think you're afraid of this, which is why I don't want him to do it.
You know what? Let's not be pussies. Choke me up.
You know what? Let me tell you a story first. Back when I used to work at the strip club.
You're the one.
Hold on.
I'm not afraid.
Alex, sit down, please.
Come
please.
On.
Please. Alex, we have to work together here. We have to work together. Come sit down.
Have you guys been
drinking? I'm not gay, but Eddie's good looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a seat.
You better choke me out.
Alex, please. Please have a seat.
No, we used to do it in high school.
I know.
He's daring Eddie Bravo to choke him out.
Grab each other and you fall down and hit your heads.
It only takes like 20 seconds.
What were you going to say about strip club?
Back when I was a blue belt, 1995, I worked at the strip club, and there was this girl I was dating.
You never had any of those items.
She was a bartender. She was seriously 4'10".
The bartenders and waitresses always the best looking at strip clubs?
I don't know, you got to let them.
I will!
She was 92 pounds. Bartender, the smallest girl.
A spinner.
And I showed her how to do a rear naked choke. She was tiny. Her name was Kimmy. And the strip club manager was your size. Big, like used to be buff, but
fat ass.
Yeah, but used to be buff. You could tell you used to be buff.
Football player type.
Big manager. You know, you want those guys that manage strip clubs, you know, intimidating looking big dudes. And he had a Corvette, and he didn't believe in jiu-jitsu at all. And she said, he said, if she could choke me out with one of them jiu-jitsu moves, I'll give her the keys to my Corvette. So she had to literally get on a bar stool, and she was standing on a bar stool and had to go around him, and she went like this, and he was just like this, and then he went out, lights out, he dropped like a sack of potatoes, he hit his head on the fucking floor, and the impact of his head hitting the floor woke his ass up instantly, so he hits the ground, and then he pops back up. And he didn't know what the fuck happened. He was just sitting there going,
no, you wouldn't.
All right. Hopefully all those words were beeped out because, of course, we're on network television and radio. But you're watching The War Room. Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, Eddie Bravo all in the same room once again. Together again for the first time. All right, you're watching InfoWars.com/show.
Facebook.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
It's Super Cock. Oh.
Not you.
There are some cuckservatives out there.
They sure are. Hey, there's cucks everywhere. We got to root them out.
So I wanted to tell you a story, Rob.
Sure.
So when it's all said and done, at the end of today, I'll be on air for 6 hours. And it is pretty draining. I mean, you know, you've hosted live shows. It is pretty draining. But I was built for it, so I'm not complaining about that. The funny thing is, the hardest part of my day today, outside of from the 6 hours of broadcasting and then the other stuff I do behind the scenes, organizing, communicating, aggregating, the hardest part of my day today, you know what it is, Rob? Just trying to get lunch in Austin, Texas. Let me tell you something. You know, I've never done this on air because it's kind of just like, it's outside of the realm.
Did you leave the office to go get lunch?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and St. Louis has its own problems. And Austin is, they do a lot of things right here. It is a beautiful city. They do keep it clean and updated for the most part. But let me tell you something about this city that really blows my mind, and I'm going to relate it to the larger issue. There's some weird thing in Austin where people can't even run their own business. Like, for example, and I know that this is not something I'm just dealing with. I've talked to a dozen people now that agree. Like, for example, if you want to get your car washed in Austin, Texas, forget about it. There isn't a working car wash in town. I don't know why they can't figure out how to work it. I don't know if they're not reloading the things of soap. I don't know what it is. If you want to go get food.
Same thing real quick with getting your air in your tires.
None of them work.
None of them work. They're all there. They all want money.
That's what I'm saying.
When they used to be free, they all worked.
Never.
Now that you have to pay for it, you can't get air.
I never had that problem in St. Louis.
In my day.
And I don't know if that's just an Austin thing, but here's another thing. So, like, my opinion, the food here in Austin is not that good. Some people disagree. I don't think food in this town is that good, to be quite frank with you. And so because of that, most people go eat at the same place all the time, myself included.
Where are you trying to go?
So I'm not even going to, we won't do any plugs here or anything, but I'm trying to go get food. And the
what
first place
with?
I go, the first place, it's a popular burger joint here. The first place I go, I'm waiting 15 minutes in the drive-thru.
Glee Glary's, right?
I'm waiting 15 minutes at Glee Glary's, and I didn't even move. Car doesn't even move. Traffic is so backed up in this joint now, it's like playing Tetris just to get out.
Yeah.
So after 15 minutes
of they won't let you build driveways or parking spaces.
You can't park in this town. It's unbelievable. So then I go to the next popular place that I like here locally, and guess what? The drive-thru doesn't work. The drive-thru window doesn't work. It's like, what, the next place I go, they're going to be out of food. And so, but here's my point, because I'm just sitting here kind of having fun bitching about this, about to go back on air here. I realized something, Rob. The reason why the average American, it's like we're sitting here so frustrated that we can't wake up the average American, but the reason why the average American can't really understand the complexities of the world or even get a finger on the pulse of American politics and current events, they can't even manage their own lives.
Oh, yeah.
There's too many things to do.
There's too many things to look at. There's too many things to know about. There's too many things to see. And that gets your mind distracted and keeps you from looking at what's right in front of you. That's why I tell this to my kids sometimes. I'm like, hey, if it was on a screen, you could find it.
Immediately.
Go find your shirt. It's upstairs. I can't find it. Well, if I put it on a screen, you'd be able to find it.
And they'd be right on it.
You'd be able to see it. Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
So it's just like,
we're overstimulated.
I don't even know what the answer to this problem is. Just the average human can't even manage their own life. They really can't. And I guess, I think I maybe have like an obsessive compulsive disorder or something. I need closure. Like if I start something or I'm in the middle of something or there's, I have to finish. So like, oh, the car wash hasn't been working in 2 weeks. I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, the drive-thru doesn't work. I'm going to fix it. In this town, you can't drive 500 feet without running into a pothole that's a foot deep. I mean, they can't even figure out an infrastructure to stop traffic in this town. So it just made me realize, it's like, the average person can't even figure out how to manage their own wardrobe, manage their own bank account, manage their own family. They can't even do their job right. Of course they have no idea what the hell's going on in the world. They don't even know what the hell's going on in their own life.
That's true. And it takes two people now to manage the War Room. So we'll be right back after this. You got Rob Dew, you got Owen Schroyer. Normally Owen's sitting here, but I guess I'll sit in here for at least a few more segments. We'll be right back. We're back live here on the War Room. We got Owen Schroyer here. I'm Rob Dew. Thank you for watching. We got Alex Jones in the background with Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo. We have those streams going on right now uninterrupted. But if you want to hear us blather and bitch about the world like those two old Muppets and
Get a burger at Blee Blairy's.
Well, look, I made a promise on the Alex Jones show today that we would take calls in the second hour, and I want to stick by that promise. So we're going to open up the phone lines. Dew is going to stick around here for a bit, too, and I got some guests coming up. But originally, I wanted to take calls on the Michael Cohen testimony, which is still going on, by the way. You just had Cortez flaring her nostrils and bugging her eyes out.
Last night I was going over, she accused a reporter of stalking her who was at his house just hanging out with his family.
They say go stalk Trump supporters, harass them,
get in
their face, form a crowd. But, oh, when it goes back on them, they have a problem with it.
No, wait, didn't even stalk her, just took a picture of her.
Like, and it really wasn't even of her, it was of the burger, showing here she is at a table where they're eating a cow fart.
This is hypocrisy right here in action. This is your social elite control masters telling you what to do. You know, I also I forgot I was going to plug last, and then I got started talking into that, and it pissed me off so much that we have, you know, Venezuela where they're eating out of garbage cans. We have these politicians that are trying to tell us we need to be like Venezuela. They want us to be eating out of garbage cans while they're eating hamburgers and telling us not to eat this stuff.
Michelle Obama lunch program.
And I was going to say, last segment, I mean, you think about it. In Venezuela, they actually just drive the food to you now in the back of garbage trucks.
I guess that's true. Food delivery service brought to you by the Venezuelan trash compactor.
Yeah, but here's the control thing. They had those images. Maduro didn't like those images, just like Ocasio-Cortez didn't like her hamburger being shown, eaten by her chief of staff. So she gets mad and then accuses people of being creeps and stalkers. And it's like, no. You're news. Every time you open your mouth, you think you want to be news. So now you get to be news, whether you like it or not. And if your chief of staff is going to eat a freaking hamburger, we get to show the hypocrisy.
And again, they're out in a public restaurant. They're not taking a picture of Cortez. I don't think her face was in any of the images, really.
No, you can see her face. She's got her mouth, like, she kind of looks like a horse, which I think is why she didn't like it.
We've already got people called in. The number is 888-201-2244. We'll take your calls on the Cohen testimony today and on Alex Jones and Joe Rogan.
I think that surprised a lot of people.
But it did surprise a lot of people. And you notice how, you know, out of certain groups, some things don't leak.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't leave.
You know,
like
there were some people that didn't even know about it today because I called up a couple of writers and said, are you ready for this? They're like, ready for what? I'm like, oh, the secret stayed.
Some people don't leak like a sieve. I will say, though, I don't know if you talked about this. I do think I have the record for the quickest ban on Facebook. Yeah? I was on Facebook for 14 hours and then they gave me the outright ban.
In fact, I think you've talked more about getting kicked off Facebook than you were actually on Facebook.
And it was brilliant because I trolled them. I baited them.
Yeah.
And I did one live broadcast. It was called Is Free Speech Dead?
And then they killed your account.
And then they killed my account. And I'm telling you, I had more friends and family because a lot of people are on Facebook that aren't on Twitter.
Don't go
to InfoWars. Don't go on YouTube.
Grandmas, grandpas.
Yeah. So they only will either see or hear from me if I call them, which I wish I had more time to do. Unfortunately, I don't. But,
Owen, where's your account? I was just following you.
And so my friends are like, oh, wow, hey, this is cool stuff. Didn't know you were doing this. I got a bunch of people respond to that. And the only thing I did was, is free speech dead in America? Yeah. And boom, they erased my account.
Yeah, you can't talk about that.
So my point is, though, yes, we are the most censored news organization I don't know if it's fair to say in the world. We don't live in a communist country where Maduro will literally arrest you if you do a broadcast he doesn't like. Maybe we go there sooner or later. Hopefully not. But it's just funny to me how we have all these people. And I love Kassam, the guy that called out, or the guy that got banned on Facebook that Don Jr. made sure got back on.
Mm-hmm.
I love Steven Crowder. I love Mike Cernovich. But, you know, it's just this weird thing where it's like, if you're totally censored, nobody really cares. But if you get deboosted, then it's like a big story. So it's like, oh, Crowder's the big story. Cernovich is the big story, which, again, I love those guys. I have no problem with those guys. Great for them. They're big. Point is, I get totally banned and nobody seems to care.
Nobody cares.
Because it's just InfoWars. Right. Yeah, they don't get to exist.
Yeah, no. It is this heel thing, the way we get treated. People like our information. I think we're this kind of dirty little secret. Everybody watches us, but nobody admits it.
We're the Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. I know about InfoWars. I print out all their articles and read them every day.
Even I can tell you, even in the sports industry, it's the same way. People have Jones in their headset. They don't want you to know it.
No,
but it's there.
Of course not.
It's there.
And then it's funny, the people that you run into and find out. I was telling this story, I think, when I came in, I got back from vacation. I was in the middle of nowhere in Colorado near Winter Park. Guy recognizes me in the checkout line. And I'm not on the air that much. Maybe once, twice a month. And this guy looks over, he goes, "You from Texas?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm a watcher."
There you go.
You know, and that's the weird Fight Club mentality where you can't tell who's a watcher, who's not. You know, I don't think I saw InfoWars gear, people wearing InfoWars gear, but you know, that guy saw me. Somebody else saw me another time. They heard my voice and recognized me.
Well, and the cool thing too is why it's like next level is they thought they could defeat us with the censorship, but because our audience is so loyal and really understands what's happening, they support us at InfoWarsStore.com. So it's really just, yeah. I mean, we are basically the dark night of media. I mean, folks, the White House is listening. Okay. We don't have to sit here and puff our chests up. I mean, you can basically, you'll see trends. I mean, literally, we will say something on InfoWars and the next day the president tweets it. Literally, that's happened multiple times.
Yeah.
So if you follow the trends, you can see that. But, you know, I just think I can't thank Alex Jones enough for having the foresight to make InfoWarsStore.com so that we could still exist in the censorship. Because if he didn't have that foresight to make InfoWarsStore.com, I don't know if we would still have the ability to go 10 hours live a day with the great crew that we have here.
And I remember back then when we started with Survival Shield, that was our first product. We don't do Survival Shield anymore.
That was like 5-6 years ago?
Yeah. Our big thing was DVDs. That we sold a lot of DVDs, books. Yeah. Sold some storable food, started selling water filters. We really noticed the jump when we started selling water filters. That was like, oh, people really want to filter their water. Let's get two brands of water filters. And then we got the Life Straw and all these other survivalist things. But when we switched over to nutraceuticals and started selling those, that's when the independence happened. Uh-oh, I think he's about to get choked out. I think he's going to fight Eddie Bravo.
Are you going to go see?
No, don't hurt him.
Eddie Bravo probably would destroy Joe
because
he still does like jujitsu, training classes.
He's the ambassador. Yeah. I gotta go see him. Forget astronauts. The guy that discovers the flat earth, the big ice field.
You know they're talking flat earth. Eddie Bravo is a big flat earther.
He is. In fact, I had a whole 3-hour dinner with Eddie Bravo where he talked nonstop about. Yeah, you were there.
Oh yeah, they banned that broadcast.
They did. I put it up on my personal YouTube channel.
I was playing. I was kind of playing the devil's advocate there, going in between, playing both sides.
Well, I mean, I'll talk about anything. I'm not afraid to talk about any subject. We could talk about anything you want, but I'm not. You know, you gotta provide evidence. You gotta provide. But it was fun talking with Eddie Bravo about that. But do we do have some? I think let's go to one call here. Let's go to Jerome in New York before we go to break. And then, when we get back, we'll tell people about all the great things you can get at InfoWarsStore.com and how you support us. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine today. How are you doing? I got a question for you. I need you guys to set me straight on something. I've beat my head on this censorship thing. Explain to me, I put a bib on me. Explain to me, Rob and Owen, please explain to me why these platforms are censoring you guys. Give me a reason why. I've looked on the internet and looked to find what is their objective. Why are they doing this to you guys? What did you do?
Well, Jerome, let me tell you, it all has to do with hate speech. And hate speech is anything we say that hurts our feelings. Anything. It doesn't matter if it's based in truth, Jerome. It's all right. Hate speech.
Okay, all right, Rob, I'm trying to spoon feed him. He wants it spoon fed.
No, but let's give the real answer. Let me give you a real simplified answer here in 30 seconds before we go to break. It's all about controlling the narrative.
Yeah.
And again, look.
But they use hate speech as that control.
Hate speech is the facade that they put over censorship.
The Tokamon Village.
Which is all fake news. It's all about controlling the narrative. InfoWars is not controlled. InfoWars counters the narrative, and InfoWars does it with the tip of the spear. So that's why they want to ban InfoWars. When a big event happens today, like the Michael Cohen testimony, they don't want InfoWars on the big social media platforms where the audience is countering their narrative. So that's the basic answer as to why they censor us.
We'll be right back.
InfoWars.com/show.
A new habitat has appeared, entirely designed and constructed by one species for its own purpose. These crevices contain the highest density of lizards in the world. And to early visitors, this new world was already home to First Nations people.
My husband Bruce is now in here.
I would argue that they're missing the forest for the trees.
A young brain searches for understanding in slow stages, working out what things are
factually
and how they work.
And semantically correct.
But no sign of the national emergency.
Out comes the tiny, underdeveloped little worm.
Pretty tranquil down here.
We got to do what we can. We always have.
This is a male, and life here suits him well.
This extraordinary creature is half blind, half deaf, and this is just about as fast as it can move.
I've been talking so much.
You might think that this is some kind of circus trick for which she's been specially trained, but not so. She is doing this entirely on her own initiative. She's seeing others doing it, and she's copying.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far.
This male has gigantic testes, the largest in the world. They weigh a ton and produce gallons of sperm.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
All right, that's from the great minds at Power Tie entitled Planet Earth, The Swamp. He sent that out to me yesterday, and it's been running as an ad on InfoWars during these ad breaks.
I want to know when the sequel comes out. When does the sequel come out? Who made that? What was the guy's name?
I don't know if he wants me to get out of his real name, but the account is Power Tie.
Power Tie?
Yeah. So they put their logo on there, but you can check them out. They have a YouTube channel, Twitter. I think it's Power_Tie on Twitter, but he's sent a few things in. This is the third one we've done. It's funny the way things work here at InfoWars. Like sometimes like people will send in a bunch of cool things all at once and you're like, wow, this is great. We got to show people this. We got to put it on the air. So, you know, a good place to put those is on the ad breaks because that sort of breaks the monotony up of what, you know, we're doing this hardcore news every day. That's a little comic relief that you need to get through.
Well, and it used to be we could just, you know, if we didn't have time to make this on air, we would just put it on our YouTube page.
Right.
Which had, you know, more than 2 million subscribers.
Yep. That was they didn't like that. Gang. They didn't like that.
And we're not allowed to do that. And it's actually funny because, well, never mind, I shouldn't say.
We got to 1 million and that was, you know, I think we did it in like 4 or 5 years. Then we went to 2 million in like 18 months.
And then
I think
stalled.
That's when they freaked out. Oh, yeah,
it stalled.
Right.
When I got to InfoWars in 2016, we had just crossed 2 million and it sat, and it was like you said, it was like astronomical. And then it sat at about 2.3. It was fluctuating between 2.3 and 2.4 million for about a year until they banned us.
Right.
And that was because they were basically erasing our subscribers, unsubscribing, shadow banning us. And so that's why we have InfoWarsStore.com. That's why your support at InfoWarsStore.com is so important. We got great products.
Yep.
Protein bars, Turbo Force, energy supplement, nutraceuticals, hats, t-shirts, documentaries, survival gear. I mean, I've built a survival bug-out bag of sorts with almost exclusively stuff from InfoWarsStore.com. So,
and the food's good. The storable food. We take it camping. My kids love to prepare it. It takes water. You got to boil water and put stuff in it. But it's for camping food. It's pretty damn good.
We had a guy who said he's basically just living on his boat out in the ocean, and he's just eating InfoWars survival food because it's that good.
Well, the great thing is it comes in these great totes too that can be used once you finish the food. You can keep the totes and put other things in them. I use them for camping.
If you're the Clintons, you know, you put the bodies in.
You fold up the bodies and you call it suicide. That's how the Clintons do it.
Yeah. Well, look, I promised that I would take calls here, so me and you can pontificate all day, but let's go back out to the phone lines here where Griffin in Illinois has called in. He wants to talk about the Cohen testimony, which I think is still going on right now. And then closed door.
So many lies.
Closed door hearings the next 2 days. You can imagine that. Go ahead, Griffin.
So I think the Cohen testimony is nothing but a Democrat propaganda piece.
Of course it is. Yes.
Agreed.
It always has turned out that the Democrats have always tried to attack, always trying to sabotage us in some way.
And what does this go back to? We wouldn't be having any of these hearings. We wouldn't be deplatformed if Trump hadn't won. This is all having to do with Trump winning this election. The Democrats are pissed. They wanted to put in Hillary Clinton. They wanted to install her. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in these hearings. She's one of the main people that was helping kick Bernie Sanders out of the party for the nomination process. He'll probably get kicked out again for this. They don't want him. They don't want him there.
Well, and my frustration is just all of the logical fallacies that they have in what are really just assumptions, but we'll call it conclusions. Oh, Trump colluded with Russia. Well, what are you talking about? Well, he colluded with Putin. Well, what are you talking about? Well, Putin is the one that stole the emails for, you know, WikiLeaks or whatever. Okay. So where does the Russian collusion come on?
Well, because hookers peed on Trump.
But then there's another level of it where it's like, Trump had to coordinate with WikiLeaks, or Roger Stone had to coordinate. Wait a second. If Trump is a puppet of Putin, why does he need to go to WikiLeaks or Julian Assange or any of the stuff that Putin allegedly had? So they don't even, that's what frustrates me so much, is the lack of logic. And it's really just laziness. It's intellectual laziness to not actually follow through on your own thought process, to just say, oh, okay, it is.
Well, what it's all about is they've created this rotating list of things that are bad about Trump. Mm. And so every couple weeks, they turn it. It's called the Trump rotation. And then it's like, Trump's bad. Trump did not give us taxes. Trump racist. Trump worked with Putin.
Orange man bad.
Well, orange man bad, that's one of them. Orange man bad. It just turns. And anytime Trump has dealings with people that we don't like. Trump paid off a hooker. So it just keeps turning and turning and turning. And kind of Cohen is sort of like 10 of these. Cohen's involved in 10 of these Trump rotations that they're all, loving it up. And they're like, we're finally getting the truth. All these Democrats.
Remember the one in the Trump rotation? Trump's going to start nuclear war with North Korea.
Yeah.
Trump has a better relationship with North Korea than any president in modern history.
Pretty much. He's the only one that sat down and talked with him.
I mean,
and they're like, this is bad. How can he sit down and talk with this evil dictator? Well, how are you? We're either going to go to war with the evil dictator, or we're going to stop the evil dictator and start trading with him. Yeah, they've done some bad things. Yeah. But are we going to continue that? Are we going to make the people of North Korea suffer? Are we going to end that and help them turn themselves around economically?
And it could take a while, but Trump said today that North Korea has incredible potential. And the media was flabbergasted. How could Trump say that? Look at South Korea. South Korea is an amazing place that has all kinds of ingenuity going on right now. They make all your Samsung products, okay? So, yeah, North Korea has the same potential, you could say, as South Korea, which is an incredible nation.
Yeah, and it's the same people, pretty much. And obviously they know how to work hard because most of them are in concentration camps. Nah, I don't want to say that. But they are not given, because they're cut off economically from the world, their really only trading partner is China. And so they're getting this Chinese influence. So do we want to stop the Chinese influence? Because that's the thing. China doesn't necessarily want these peace talks to happen because they like having North Korea as this little attack dog that they can sick on people.
Oh, and what else is Trump doing right now? Negotiating trade with China as he's meeting with Kim Jong-un in North Korea. This is the genius of Trump as a businessman that the mainstream news either doesn't understand or will never tell you.
That's it. We'll be right back right after this. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know.
Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, it's getting pretty deep right now on the Joe Rogan podcast. There's 177,000 people watching, and Alex Jones is talking about the occult back in the Nazi era in World War II and what they were doing with human sacrifice and blood sacrifices, and how the Nazis, when they came over in Project Paperclip, or Operation Paperclip, then kind of took over what NASA was and created this breakaway government, in addition to they were talking about the CFR as well. That's more the British model, which I think would also coincide with the intelligence agencies.
But you know, it's amazing that Alex Jones, who's the most censored man on social media, because he's on the Rogan podcast right now, has been able to basically penetrate all levels of social media, where It's the number one viewed video on YouTube. It probably will be. They don't let it trend. I wonder if Rogan's going to have his channel shut down for this broadcast. I doubt it. But people are taking clips out. They're putting them all over Twitter. It's all blowing up. It's all going viral. It's going viral on Facebook. So it really just
proves. Which is what we want.
But it really just proves it's like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Like when they got rid of Alex Jones, and I know that we already know this, but it's just like reiterating it. They took down probably top three personalities on social media as Alex Jones. Yep. I mean, they removed one of the most popular content producers, InfoWars in general, Alex Jones specifically, when they censored him. And so it's amazing to see here's Alex Jones censored, but oh, he's able to penetrate for what he gets 1 minute of a window into social media and it blows immediately up.
It goes viral. Everybody's rabid about it. And this has to do with, you know, these groups like Vice and Huffington Post and BuzzFeed. They were all on their social media. They were buying views, buying people, buying friends. Fake. It's all farmed out. And because that's why they approached Alex a long time ago and said, hey, we want you to be a partner on YouTube, because they saw he was organic. His stuff, people would take it and spread it around. And just the stuff on our channel was big, but then other people's channels were big too. In fact, we had a guy, Ron, was streaming Alex's stuff, and he was getting more views than us live streaming.
Still, well, I mean, he's still allowed to broadcast in some place.
Well, I don't even want to give his name out. People who know him can go, will find it, but you know, he's able to, he's still streaming stuff out, but that's the power. And they saw that because they were looking at everybody else going, oh, these people are buying views. They're buying this. They're doing this stuff. And that all came out, and then their funding got cut. So these people started laying people off. It's all a big charade. We're actually the real deal. That's crazy. And we're here independent in Austin, Texas. All right, let's go to back to our phone lines. We got Davis in Louisiana wants to talk about Satanism. That's exactly what they're talking about right now on the Joe Rogan podcast. Alex Jones is there. Go ahead, Davis.
Hey, guys. In honor of Alex getting back with Joe today, you know, I just wanted to talk about this Satanism thing and how, you know, Joe's obviously a big DMT guy. And, you know, I never messed with DMT. I experimented with the other thing, you know, the LSD and all that. But I just wanted to talk about what this DMT is doing to especially young people. And, you know, as a Christian, someone who's come to Christ, the way I look at this DMT stuff and what it's done to my friends and how it's devolved their spirit and mind, I just have to say that to me, it feels like this DMT stuff is like a synthetic version of a Satanist Bible or something. It's hard to say. I just want to.
Well, I think this is an interesting thing, and it intrigues me. I'm no choir boy. I won't go into details of what I mean by that. You can take that for what it is. Yeah. But I see, like there, for example, I've got a bunch of people. One that's a friend of a show, Shiva Ayaduray, and there's about to be a bunch of, high science, like well-studied research about marijuana and its effects on the brain. I knew this was coming a while ago. I talked about it on the War Room. But so they make all of these correlations with marijuana and people that smoke marijuana, and I just don't think it's fair, because when you take a mass populace on whatever issue and try to make a blanket statement about it, it's just not fair. When you do that, as far as it relates to biology, chemistry, and biochemistry, it's even less fair, because every human being has a different biochemistry makeup. So, for example, look at alcohol, which is totally illegal. Everything you just said about DMT, you could also say about alcohol. Look what alcohol does to some people's lives.
Some people lose everything.
So, and then some other people.
Some people are the life of the party.
Some people can go out, have a glass of wine at dinner, never a big deal. Have a cocktail at a party, never a big deal. Some people are more apt to fall down a rabbit hole when it comes to alcoholism and totally destroy their lives. So it's the same thing for DMT. Look, this stuff has been around for hundreds, thousands of years.
It's naturally made in the body.
Yeah, and in plants and stuff. That's the ayahuasca with the ancient Amazon rituals and stuff like that. So I have done a lot of research into this. I just don't think it's fair to sit here and make a blanket statement about anything that involves biology and biochemistry, because humans are made up so much differently. And I do believe that let's take what they call magic mushrooms, for an example, with the psilocybin in it. I do believe that there are certain human traits that people classify as mental disorders or like separation anxiety and stuff like that can be cured with psilocybin, because it allows you to go into different parts of your mind that cause an awakening process. So, for example, and this has actually been studied before, if someone has separation anxiety, it's a psychological trait that is either inherent in them or it's somehow biochemically they've never been able to leapfrog in their development, in their maturity. But then all of a sudden, you eat a magic mushroom and it clicks in these synapses in your brain that you've never accessed before, and all of a sudden you're over your separation anxiety. Now, for someone else, they might go into a place of their mind, they call it a bad trip, and then they're never the same again. So I do think it's delicate, but I don't like making blanket statements when we talk about this.
And there's other people who are, they have these lethal diseases and they're about to die. They'll take some magic mushrooms and they're like, whoa, okay, there is an afterlife. I've felt the presence. I've felt something. There's something else that's bigger than me that I'm going to be in tune with when I die. I'm not afraid anymore.
I will say this, though. This is the craziest part about it. And they talked about this on the Joe Rogan Experience. If you don't have a sound mind and you go into one of these things, let's say a DMT trip with a cultist or someone like that, I mean, you know, it's going to be a crazy experience. You're going to see some stuff that you didn't think you'd ever see. And quite frankly, you won't even be able to comprehend. And if there's somebody there trying to manage and steer what you think and believe, that's when it can become cultish. And I think that's the aspect of Satanism you're talking about. And that's like a Jim Jones cult thing, right? So it's like the same thing. Anytime you get a cult mentality and you introduce someone to something that's unfamiliar, that they're curious about, you can then kind of control and manipulate what they think about that or what they think they're seeing and what they should believe. So that, I think, is what you're probably talking about, Davis.
Yeah. And I always kind of wonder how many people listen to this Joe Rogan podcast who never in a million years would have done that stuff, and now they
seek it out.
Well, that's a totally different thing. I mean, yeah, now you're talking about promoting illicit drug use.
Right. And how the FEC violations or whatever it's called. You know, most people couldn't get away with, you know, with having a giant audience and talking about that stuff, I don't think. But, you know, he does, but...
Well, and now you see, too, and thank you for the call, Davis. Good topic to bring up. Now you see, too, and I don't know how much validity there is to this, but they're saying that Smollett was getting, quote unquote, designer drugs from these Nigerians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, look, I've never needed drugs necessarily, like ecstasy. People like taking ecstasy and going to parties and stuff or raves and stuff like that. I'm not going to lie. I tried it when I was in college. It never really did anything for me. I can go to a party and have a good time anyway. But I think what it is, there's a new thing where they're learning how to basically have, my guess would be, controlled release DMT that elites can have made for them, where they can sit here and they believe they're looking at the next dimension. And then you go look at an interview that Tim Cook does where his pupils are dinner plates. Mm-hmm. You see all these stories about designer drugs. You know about the DMT cults that are now going public. It used to be this secret society stuff. Now it's all going public because of the new Silicon Valley cults. So, I mean, it's really complex stuff. And I don't think not talking about it is a good thing, but, you know, letting people know, hey, this is what's going on.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
I just wanted to finish my thought here and then go back out to the phone lines. But hallucinogenic cults have been around for a long time. And, I mean, I bet a lot of it goes on in Bohemian Grove. And so what they do is they'll take you to, say, an event like Bohemian Grove or some, like, Burning Man deal. And they'll have these things, and it's all plotted out. It's ancient ritual stuff. And it usually, if you're talking about the demonic stuff, it involves fire. I've never done this. This is just what I've read and what I've researched. It's crazy. But you go to one of these cult events, they do it at Bohemian Grove. And so let's say you're smoking the DMT and it doesn't last very long, but there's 300 of you and you're all around this fire. And every once in a while, people are hitting the DMT, and you're all surrounding the fire, and in the fire is Lucifer. Now, if you're new to this stuff, Like, you're just kind of approaching this like, oh, you know, I'm going to go take a party drug and it's going to go be this wild experience. And then you go see this and it's all crazy and it's like it all seems real to you. Everyone's seeing the same thing and you're going in and out of this consciousness. And so you don't even really know what you're getting involved with. It's just like a whoa. It's almost like going and see like a 3D movie for the first time and you've only been watching black and white or something. So that's where the cultish stuff kind of comes into play. And I think the average person, when they first get involved in it, just kind of looks at it like, oh, this is fun. They're just doing drugs or whatever. And they don't understand the actual satanic practices and the actual ancient rituals that really started it.
The intentions behind it. And, you know, just talking about this now, Jussie Smollett could have been on some crazy drug. And he maybe actually thought white people were attacking him.
Or maybe he's on MK Ultra or something.
Who knows?
So I just wanted to finish that thought. We've got callers called in on this. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Let me start by saying, who is that blonde in your Alpha Power ad? I like that ad.
classified.
How frustrating is it to listen to Joe Rogan play stupid whenever Alex starts talking about things of importance? It's pretty frustrating. I don't know how.
But isn't that just to play devil's advocate? Isn't that kind of Rogan's role, though?
Yeah, and he's done it, and then he admits he knows some things. And Jones has said a couple times, he's like, "See, you know all this," and that's kind of what's making Jones mad is that Joe knows this stuff. He pretends to be stupid, so he can be a kind of a flint, one of those two-way doors, you know, at a saloon. He can go either way. It doesn't matter.
Most people that are responding to me about this, though, Jefferson, are on the same. They have the same sentiment as you.
Yeah, I mean, he was apologizing for Google conspiring with China. I mean, that was pretty sick. And then he acted like he didn't know that Soros was working with the Nazis. It's just the stuff he will apologize for people and give them the benefit of the doubt all the time. And you have to drag it out of him that he knows better. It was
my happy making time experience.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of his quotes, saying it was the happiest time of his life, and it was great happy making time going around and confiscating property from people.
He regrets nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
the smartest thing I heard Rogan say today was when he was talking about Governor Northam here from my state, Virginia, and he hit upon the notion that the governor said, we will resuscitate the baby. Well, to resuscitate a baby, it means you have to already have given it some sort of drug to knock it out. It's already been made unconscious. And if they want to bring it back to life and not kill it, they'll resuscitate it. He did hit on that.
Yeah, yeah. Because Joe Rogan is smart, and that was the point, is most people don't pick up on that. They're basically saying, yeah, we just delivered a living baby, and now we're going to decide whether we want to kill it or not. And that's basically what was said.
We keep it comfortable.
Well, that's the code word. Keeping it comfortable is the code for giving it some sort of knockout drug, whether it's ether or something, just to keep it quiet while they decide what to do with it. Which is kind of sick in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, but we know what this is all about, and it sounds wild. And here's the thing. This is how you know there's something else behind it. If they were just harvesting, you know, baby organs and blood and stuff because it was a business, and it was a business, and okay, we're gonna harvest these organs for this purpose or scientific purposes, or whatever, and they just came out and said it and was like, this is what's going on, this is what's regulated. It's the fact that they hide it,
and pretend it doesn't happen.
They pretend like it's not going on and there's nothing to see here. That's how you know there's something sick and demented on the backside.
There's something else besides the selling of baby parts.
Exactly. So thank you so much for raising that, Jefferson. Okay. But we got to jump. Let's go to Brad Chadford calling in from Boston here. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, guys. I wanted to plug really quickly. The InfoWars or the Infocom message board you guys set up is absolutely awesome. I think that the fact that it works so well on mobile devices, which is something that message boards generally don't do, is awesome. And if anybody, you know, is listening to the show and they haven't checked out Infocoms, they should.
Infocoms.org. That's right. Thank you.
I got to get on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I'm calling to make a confession. I was incorrect that there is no social media bias against conservatives. I was wrong.
Okay, now hold on, because I want to give a little context here. Brad Chadford is somebody that disagrees with us politically, but he's actually just like a normal person, unlike a lot of these people that disagree with us. So we have conversations with him off air. I've messaged him, you know, outside of the realms of this show. So but you're saying you used to be in, you used to deny or not believe that the social media censorship was politically motivated, and now you're saying you do think it is?
Yeah, I that's exactly right. I was basically what I thought was there were a lot of loud conservatives who said crazy things, got banned, and you guys kind of took that and ran down the street with it. But I think what actually happened with Jacob Engels getting banned yesterday or the day before, that was kind of the straw that broke it for me. I think that it's
that was Monday.
Him. Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. I there's absolutely nothing that he said that should have got him banned. I don't think Laura should have been banned. At a certain point, it's no longer deniable. And I think that you have to admit it. You have to say you were wrong, and you have to give it a name and say, hey, this is wrong and it shouldn't be going on. And I was, I was at the protest in New York with Adriana and with Laura. And, there were a whole lot of people there that I just totally disagreed with at the time. And it's like less than a week later, and I have to say I was wrong.
Well, let me ask you this, because since it's rare, A, that anybody like you even exists, someone that has different political views than us, but is in communication with us and doesn't hate us. In a general sense, who has given you more time of day or just more respect? Is it people that would politically be considered conservatives or liberals?
Well, so I think you must have watched the video that I put up because I made the point. I went to a protest, the Resist Howard Schultz protest, if you can imagine that existing as a thing, and it shouldn't. In Cambridge, Mass, in Harvard Square, which is like a couple of miles away from my house in Dorchester. And so I went up and talked to those people. Generally, it was a decent conversation, but as soon as I posted the video of them talking, they blocked me on Twitter, right? The organizer blocked me. All I asked them was, I said, hey, look, if Bernie Sanders was hosed in the 2016 primary by the DNC, and he was, we all know this, Debbie Wasserman Schultz didn't resign for a better job. She resigned because she got caught, right? So if Howard Schultz felt like, hey, the DNC is skewed and they're gonna hose me, why can't he run as an independent? And they all got angry, every one of them, right? So I posted that video and they blocked me, right? I went down to New York to talk to a whole bunch of conservatives, and I was the only liberal except for me and my cameraman, right? And those people treated me better than any liberal did in Massachusetts.
And I, the only reason I ask this is because I don't think these people are actual liberals. I think they're deranged leftists, where I view someone as you that's an actual liberal, mm-hmm. and somebody that's willing to talk to the other side. And it's rare to find someone like you. And I wish, I do follow your channel. I think it sucks that there aren't more people like you represented in media, and that even the left side of the aisle won't even, I mean, they reject you. I mean, that's the craziest part of it to me. It's like, here's somebody that's actually funny, that does unique commentary on politics from a leftist perspective, that also talks to conservatives, and the left wants nothing to do with you. And I think that just proves that they're not real liberals. They're just haters that have this miserable status in life.
They're totalitarians.
And misery loves company.
Yeah, I'd say that those people are not liberals. I definitely agree. I think they're just miserable people who are so stiff that if they laughed at a joke, their faces would crack and fall off. You know what I mean? Like, this is it's a miserable situation. And like I said, I actually, my flight got canceled out of New York. And Adriana and Laura and all the organizers, they had a townhouse in East Harlem, and they gave me a bed to stay in for free, for the next day. No liberal.
Well, I got to tell you, we're going to a break here. Brad Chadford, thank you for calling in. Boston is probably my favorite city in the summer. If I come up there to Boston, we'll get in touch. I know he wanted to do political boxing with me, but none of the leftists will get in a ring. I don't know what's going on with these leftists.
Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Final hour of the War Room is here. And I'm joined here by, where'd he go? Well, there's an empty chair where Owen Schroyer used to be. We got Alex Jones behind us being animated. Joe Rogan's taking off his headphones. No, they're back on. All right. Now I could actually see why they call him Toe Rogan. anyway, we got calls. I don't think I said much that last segment. But let me say this. We are listener supported. We are totally censored. Like, really, Alex never cared about going on other people's shows or doing any of this stuff. He's doing that more and more now because of the censorship, and this is the only way he can break through the electronic Berlin Wall. So the way we're able to sustain ourselves, though, is by people going to InfoWarsStore.com. We'll talk about more about that later, but let's go to Roger in Michigan. Wants to talk about Cohen comments. Yeah, I've been watching that Dog and Pony show all day, Roger. What's your thoughts on it? Hello, Roger.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to say that, was it Mr. Jordan that was interviewing him?
Jim Jordan, yes.
Yeah. I think he tore him a new one. Because he was, I got my notes here. Cohen lied about this, lied about that, lied about everything. Why should we believe him now?
Yeah, that's the thing. Where is his credibility? And here's what it is, though. They have this system set up where they can bring out this guy, let him say all these things, and then the paper, if you go look at all the online news, it's all about what Cohen said. What Cohen said. Cohen said this. Not whether it's true or not. That doesn't matter. It's Cohen said President Bad. Now we have his lawyer saying President Bad, so now we can say more President Bad stuff.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, I worked for a lawyer for 3 years, and just in general, I can't believe that the media doesn't understand it. And it really just shows you most of these people in media are not that smart, to be honest. People assume they are because they're on TV. This is legal precedent.
Greg Reese just made the Joe Rogan podcast. They're just showing one of his reports.
This is legal precedent, time proven. If a witness is a proven liar, they are never a witness again.
Yeah, it's discredited.
So it's this amazing thing that they're going against every precedent set by legal scholars, by lawyers across the spectrum. If a witness is a proven liar, he's no longer a witness. Anything he says is discounted. Oh, but somehow Michael Cohen, you know, he's this anointed hero now.
Yeah, he's different. He's different. And it's only because he's saying bad things about Trump. And what they're going to do is chicken pick these things out, hen peck them, and say, Cohen said this, Cohen said, like, it's all fact. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's because he said it in this congressional setting that now it is fact. So they're giving him legitimacy by bringing him up and treating him like he's a hero.
I think it was Mark Meadows, but I'm not sure. But it was one of the Republicans on the committee that was questioning Cohen when he basically came out and said Trump is the worst racist ever.
Yeah.
And he really hammered that home in his opening statements. And this Republican congressman said, you know, you are on record that you've recorded hundreds, if not thousands, of conversations. It's something that you did regularly.
Right. Do you have anything
to
say?
Of Trump? Yeah. And he said, nope.
Nope. Nothing I'm saying. But he's a racist. Trust me.
Yeah.
He's racist.
It's all going to, in the first wave of tremors here, it may not be a good thing for Trump in America. But I think once the aftershock and the second wave, third wave of tremors starts coming from this, I think it's going to be horrible for the Democrats. Again, you know.
Well, and what's funny, what is he doing while this is going on? He's out trying to make peace with another nuclear power, trying to de-escalate that situation. That's what Trump's doing. While they're having this chicken show in Washington, D.C., Trump's actually trying to do something for humanity.
And there's, let me tell you something. Black people are sick of white people pandering to them.
Yeah.
So they're so, Trump's a racist against black people. Shut up. That's what black people are saying. Shut up. I'm sick of you using me like some sort of ignorant political pawn that can't decide if someone's a racist or not. Yep. Ridiculous.
All right, I'm bowing out after this. Owen, it's been great. Thanks for having me on. And I think you got a guest coming up.
I got a couple guests coming up. Yep. It's going to be great. Had a proper woo today. That is until now. All right, I've now taken over hosting duties for the final hour of the War Room. Thank the crew and Rob Dew for keeping the ship a sail. while I was trying to get lunch after hosting the Alex Jones Show. It's impossible in Austin, Texas these days. Big lunch crowd out here. Big lunch crowd. I am excited to be joined by my next guest again, Tommy Sotomayor. You can find him on Twitter at TJ Sotomayor, KOC. His website, SotomayorENT.com. And of course, very popular on YouTube as well, where he's been doing videos for a long time. That's where I discovered him. Tommy Sotomayor joins us today. All kinds of stuff we could talk about today, Tommy. The Cohen testimony is dominating the news. President Trump is in North Korea working on a peace deal. Where do you want to begin? What's on your mind today?
I love the Cohen situation. I love what you guys were saying before, and it is really sad to watch them all of a sudden make him another one of those lions of the left. I don't know if you heard the part during the whole charade when he said to the congressman of, what was that? The Virgin Islands or something. It was funny to watch, but he was saying to her, he said, well, you know, I was a Democrat before Trump made me switch over to be a Republican because he said it wouldn't look good. And I was like, are they really pandering like this to these guys? So all you have to do to be embraced by the left is say something against the president.
Or say the president's racist, too. Like, it's one of the two. Like, if you say something, I guess it all falls under the same window. I did miss that. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Democrat. I fake being a Republican. Thank you. Yes. Like, we don't want you.
He said it and it went over without a hitch. And I think I was one of the few people who caught it and said, do you not hear and see what's going on right now? That this guy that they look at and say is a bad guy and say he's a liar. But as long as he starts saying things that we want him to say, it's fine. We as people in the United States, we as citizens, we as taxpayers, we as voters, the one thing we should want is a bit of transparency, and we shouldn't just be team one thing or team something else. And I think that's why I'm so hated, because I'm not blind to anything. I will call whatever needs to be called out. And Cohen needs to be called out as a liar, as a fraud, as a scam. And no matter what it is, this is the same guy who said, I would take a bullet for the president. Does this look like taking a bullet, or does it look like shooting one?
Well, he was facing bullets, and they said, if you don't go and do this testimony like we want you to, these bullets are going to go through you and then maybe even hit your family, too, politically speaking here, folks. So he cut a deal. He more or less admits that. He's like, yeah, I've been meeting with Democrats. Yeah, I'd do anything to protect my family. Oh, wow. You just admitted that you're working for the Democrats to destroy Trump right now. Thank you. To protect your wife from having to deal with the illegal things that you did, that you got caught doing, that have nothing to do with Trump. But I mean, you could talk about your background. I mean, you didn't get into YouTube for political commentary. I think that naturally people that just went on air to counter false narratives just in culture and society have kind of naturally moved over to the political spectrum, because that's where all the propaganda really exists now to try to destroy Donald Trump. And so I just sit here and I look at, you know, it seems like everything has become politicized now because of Donald Trump. And it's not even his doing. It's because every aspect of media attacks him all day long now.
Yeah. And we need to understand, people like you, me, Alex Jones, the people over you guys over at InfoWars, before you came on, I was just doing an interview on my show with Gavin McGinnis, another person who I think many of us were not looking at the world through this political lens. Maybe many of us didn't think that the world was as politicized as it is. But what's happening now is that they're using politics, PC, the internet, which used to be a place where you could hear dissenting voices from what was going on. They're using that now to deplatform people like you, people like me, people like Alex Jones, people like Gavin McGinnis, people like Milo Yiannopoulos, anyone who speaks against the leftist movement. And it's a beautiful thing that they're doing, because like Michael Cohen, they're putting you, me, and everyone else in position to where, if we really want to protect our families, if we really want to keep working and we really want to keep paying our bills, we better toe the leftist party line.
Well, Roger Stone is the perfect example. He could have done the same thing that Michael Cohen did, and he could have given, a 5-hour, 6-hour, however long it was, open testimony saying all these bad things against the president. And And they would stop harassing him, and they would stop trying to shut down his social media. They'd stop coming after him financially. They'd stop coming after him legally. But Roger Stone's not going to do that, and so that's why they have to destroy Roger Stone. Michael Cohen, so you see, look, Michael Cohen did have some stuff in his closet. It had nothing to do with Trump, and they got him. And they could have destroyed him and his whole family. Instead, he's going to serve, he'll probably get some deal, and he won't serve his full prison sentence. And, you know, that'll be for coming on and doing this whole thing. But it's like, I just don't think, and here's the problem, and you're dealing with this now too. I don't know if you've been censored anywhere yet, but it's like people do have to make the decision. They have to say, okay, am I going to say what I really think? Am I even going to exist out here? Am I going to go on Facebook and say I like the president? Am I going to wear a Trump hat out? Or am I too afraid of what the consequences are going to be? Even though you know that it's not right, that fear still exists in you. And so it's basically self-censorship.
Yeah. And it's a smart thing that the left is doing. I mean, it's beautiful what they did when we were able to combat the national media, when you only had basically your ABCs, your Foxes, and your NBCs. Well, the internet allowed everyone to be able to have an opinion and you to be able to fact check those big name people, which was a problem for them. So they turned it around. What they did was they gave the people who were the fringe the power. And you asked about what I'm dealing with. I've been banned from GoFundMe. Yesterday, I got banned from something called Streamlabs. I have 3 channels on YouTube currently with over 300,000 subscribers that I can't use because they've been demonetized. I can't do AdSense. That's gone. They've taken away things from me that would allow me to be able to live. And the word behind that is this. If you toe the party line, if you claim racism is all encompassing and around black people, if you claim the Republican Party is bad, then you can do whatever you want to. You can make rap songs saying you're going to shoot up the club. You're going to do all this stuff. You can call people whatever name you want to. As long as you toe that party line and you will be able to continue to eat. I have had almost every avenue for revenue shut down for me. And now I do live shows around the United States. Do you know those people are saying they're going to flag down Eventbrite so I can't sell the tickets for people who want to see me live? That's how far this is going. So you look at somebody like Cohen and you see them cut a deal, and you look at somebody like me and somebody like you and somebody like Alex Jones, and you say to yourself, you stood up throughout the firestorm. What happened to men in America to where they fold so easily? What happened to where we would look at things and just say, I don't believe in integrity. I don't believe in honor. I just want to eat. And that's all that matters.
Well, and the problem with that is, and this is what I was actually talking about yesterday. This is like actually, it's like a psychological chemical attack on us where your instincts should be the exact opposite. Your instincts are, well, you know what? Maybe I get to eat today. But if I don't fight this battle now, my ancestors are never going to eat. Mm-hmm. And so There's this weird level of not understanding future implications, and it's almost like a selfish thing, perhaps even, where it's like, okay, I'm going to protect mine now and not even think about the future. The future is just assumed to be there for myself and my family. Well, no, it's not. And so, and let's get into this on the other side, because again, it's like I said, like when I first discovered you on YouTube, this was probably like 5 or so years ago. You were really just doing like cultural stuff, counter narrative. You know, commentary and stuff. A lot of it was just kind of funny and entertaining, very controversial. But it's like, oh, now in this new world, if you're controversial at all, it's like what you said. You better go against the president. You better go with the liberal progressive line, or we're just going to erase you. And it's like you said, so now you're faced with a decision. Do I put dinner on my table, or do I stand up for what's right? And a lot of people have to face that choice, and you've seen the people and what choices they've made. Just look at Cohen today. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. My guest is Tommy Sotomayor, banned from YouTube. I would guess YouTube was probably his number one platform. That's where I discovered him and watched his videos. He is on Twitter at TJ Sotomayor, KOC, and his website is SotomayorENT.com. And Tommy is with us now. Tommy, I would imagine YouTube was your most popular platform. You said you had hundreds of thousands of subscribers there. So they've demonetized you there. They don't want you to exist there on YouTube. You're still on Twitter. They banned you off Streamlabs. And see, this is the type of stuff where, I mean, a lot of people, maybe have never heard of Tommy Sotomayor. And so they don't realize that there's all of these other conservative voices out there, or not even necessarily conservative voices, just counter-narrative voices, free speech voices that they're coming after. I mean, what do you make as an overall issue of censorship? I mean, what do you think is at the real roots of this? And what do we need to do? I mean, what is our answer? What is our solution to this censorship?
You want to create sheep. And this is exactly what your government wants to do. They want to create sheep. They want people who don't think for themselves, but are someone feeds them what to think. Right now, we were all told the guys from Covington, the young boys from Covington, were bad, and to the point where they deserve death, because many people tweeted and put up articles saying that they need to be slapped or worse. And nothing happened. But when we found out that the narrative was fake, they were able to move on to another narrative. Now, why were people so quick to jump on these boys without even trying to find out if what was being said about them is true? Because we're lazy now. It's easy for us to be told what to do because we don't want to think and we don't want to do the work and do the research. You look at the way that the articles are on my website. On my website, I won't put up something unless I have researched it. I will not. We live in a society that's so dumb today that many people will take an article from The Onion and take it as the gospel, even though on the front page it says a satirical website. That's how bad we are right now. The public schools, it's all about teaching these people how to follow order. That's why they don't want you to do homeschooling. They want society to follow a narrative. And the reason why they're demonetizing and deplatforming the people from the internet, the people who've created their own voice, is because they are counter what the liberals and the leftists are pushing. Whenever you're counter that, what they've done now is decided to make it to where it's a life or death experience to speak out against the powers that be. And people like yourself, people like me, well, we're dealing with the repercussions of basically having principles. And the thing that you guys need to do, honestly, they're attacking money. And the only way to continue to get people like Alex Jones, people like me, people like Crowder, people like McGinnis, any dissenting voice, is to put your money where your mouth is. They understand that you will watch a man have to pay $50,000 in child support and you'll laugh. They understand that you watch a man get divorced and he hasn't seen his kids in 3 years, but he's going broke fighting. They understand that you'll just watch it and you'll laugh. Many of the things that are happening to me, that are happening to others, will happen to you when you speak out if you don't stand up for those who speak out. So the number one culprit in this free speech fight is the middle of the road people. Right now, the majority of Americans are in the middle. You watch the news, it tells you that the majority of Americans are on the left. The people who are in the middle are so afraid to speak. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to lose their homes. See, a lot of people can't go a week or two or three without a check. So do you think they're going to risk that to stand up and speak what they believe or speak what they think is true or even know is true? It's a great game that's being played by our government right now. It's going to be a hard one to get over until you get more people willing to stand up for the long term over the short.
And I think events like today with the Cohen testimony is only waking people up just that are sick of the in general corruption. And so it's like, I'm so glad that you brought up those issues because that was the stuff that at first attracted me to your YouTube channel was the cultural issues. Like you talked about the, you know, I mean, people want to sit here and act like, you know, oh my gosh, look at how bad America is to women. But well, wait a second. A woman and a man can get divorced and a man loses half his paycheck. A man has to pay all the money, you know, for child support. A man has to pay all this money just to fight for his kids. Okay, so that was the kind of stuff that you were covering, not even necessarily political, just cultural. that I originally was like, oh, wow, you know, this is just common sense stuff that nobody is talking about. This is an interesting, unique perspective. And you're right. It's even content like that that they don't want pushed. They don't want people questioning anything that's going on. And like you said, they've now got us pigeonholed where, I mean, it's national news. It's like 80% of Americans, I don't know the exact number, are living paycheck to paycheck. That's not good. There are economic issues. We're not denying that. Cortez isn't the one that's going to solve them. We know that much. But you're right. They have Americans pigeonholed where you, like you said, you have to make a choice. Am I going to continue to live and be comfortable putting food on the table for my family? Or am I going to stand up for my principles and say, I realize that I may have a struggle now, but if I don't endure this struggle now, the struggle that my lineage after me is going to have to endure may be impossible to beat.
Mm-hmm. And the great part about it is when you sell out, it just reminds me of this movie Hoodlum. When you sell out in the mob, they typically offed you anyway, because who has a use for a non-principled individual? And I think that's exactly why the government is pushing non-principled individuals. Look at who they put out in the forefront, non-principled individuals. You think about what we're going through as content creators or news outlets or bloggers or whatever it is that you do. You'd have to ask yourself, is it worth it to receive a couple of extra checks to go against what I know are my principles? Because they're going to come back on you. And in the movie Hoodlum, there was this guy who told on Dutch Schultz. He told him exactly where he was. He even went in and killed Dutch Schultz. When he got in the car with Lucky Luciano, they murdered him simply because they understood he had no principles. Right now, we have a lot of people like Cohen who have no principles, who will do anything to get out of a situation that most of them put themselves in the first place. We used to have an idea as Americans that we would fight for a principle. Right now, we're just fighting for our lives.
And here's the other thing that came out today during the Cohen hearings. And look, I'm not somebody that buries my head in the sand. There was stuff that came out in the Cohen hearing today that was concrete stuff. And it does look like perhaps Donald Trump paid for a portrait out of his charity and had a straw man bid on it. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Like, this is the biggest crime a politician has ever had. So it's like I'm sitting here and it's like, you know what? That's not good. That's some bad stuff. Maybe Donald Trump did that. Here's the physical evidence. We'll look at that. But it pales in comparison to the corruption that we know has been going on in this country.
Thank you. You are my brother from a Caucasian mother, apparently, because I literally spoke about this. I said, yes, some of the things he said, because we did a play by play on it. I said, yes, some of the things he's saying sound really bad, but I can name you any other politician who's done that, and I can name you any other regular citizen. Oh, my God, he paid to have his mistress be silent.
Oh, yeah, millions of dollars from taxpayers to cover the congressional sexual assault allegations. Tommy Sotomayor, folks, he's banned on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter. Go to SotomayorENT.com. Tommy, I'll come on your show anytime, man.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking white male.
And then there's the cuck slayer. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
My next guest is Caitlin Bennett. Always great to have her on. Almost every video that she does goes viral now. And she even has meme power when she goes on as a guest on Impulsive. And in a moment's notice, as soon as the producer says that he's tired, it's like out of the fourth dimension, Caitlin Bennett presents Turbo Force. 33% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Just total natural talent. From Caitlin Bennett, who has joined InfoWars, and just everything she touches goes viral. Yes, we do have big specials at InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off the bodies. And, you know, speaking of Turbo Force, when it's all said and done, I'm going to be on air for 6 hours today. And it's folks, doing a three-hour broadcast. Most radio hosts can do 2 hours. 3 hours is tough, and you're drained after three. 6 hours, you're totally drained. But I did my Turbo Force before today. When I'm done off air today, Wednesday night's my basketball night. I'm going to go play basketball for at least 2 hours. And I don't think I could do that without Turbo Force plus Super Male Vitality, which is a limited supply right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So take advantage of all the great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off a box of our new protein bars when you order two or more boxes. And of course, you know, it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes everything we do here possible, considering the massive censorship that we're under. So I thank you so much for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Caitlin, let's see. You went out in the streets and you did a video where leftists want to put Trump supporters into a concentration camp. So that was nice. Yeah, you went out and, I mean, so it's like every video you do is going viral now. You're getting invited onto podcasts, so good for you. Did you expect, though, when you went out to ask, you got all dressed up in a costume, too, if people want to go see it, it's pretty funny. And it's funny how you can trick these people every time. You can even go onto your own campus. It's like you just put a pair of glasses on. They don't know who you are somehow. It's like in Ready Player One where you put on the glasses to change your avatar or whatever. But did you expect, A, nobody to know the presidents that were on Mount Rushmore? That was another video did. Or did you expect that people would actually sign your petition to put Trump supporters in a concentration camp?
So I didn't think that I was going to be able to come out right and say camps and involuntary camps, especially. I thought that I would have to say more of like a diversity and inclusive training. But once I decided just to go full force and say that they need to be put in camps involuntarily, they were all for it. And so I just kept going more and more extreme to the next person I talked to. And then I ran into the student government person who was like, well, they won't do that. So you have to change what you say so that they don't know exactly what you're trying to do. And I was like, this is a gold mind.
Wait. That's the mind of these leftists. And they're even opening up who they really are to you. They're like, yes, we will engage in active deception to rob you.
Yeah. So I said, she goes, well, the administration doesn't do stuff that radical. So we're going to have to like change the title. And I straight up said, okay, so we want to target conservatives, but we don't want them to know that. And she goes, right. And I was like, this is such a gold mine. You're going to look back on my Twitter and see that you're on here getting exposed and you're going to feel so stupid about yourself.
Here's the thing that a lot of people don't believe, Caitlin, is first of all, they don't believe that they could actually go out and get this content. That's like the first level is like, oh, there's no way I could go out and get people to admit they want to put Trump supporters in a concentration. There's no way. But then there's like the next level where once you've done it, it's like, okay, well, now they know who I am. There's no way I could go out there and do it again. Folks, I'm telling you, you can do what Caitlin Bennett has done on any college campus, on every college campus, and it wouldn't even matter. They could even see Caitlin's video and they'd still admit it. So it's like, it's this amazing thing where just, I wish people could understand this. And you don't have to have a total victory. You don't have to have a grand slam. Even a small victory is a huge victory. If just taking action is a victory, Caitlin. I mean, would you ever have thought, let's see, it was probably a year and a half ago where you took the picture with your gun at Kent State. You maybe had, what, a couple hundred followers on Twitter? Now, a year and a half later, just through taking action, you're truly having an impact on culture.
Yeah, so it was less than a year ago, actually, because I took that in May. So we're coming up in just a few months on a year of it. But I never thought... I had 500 followers on Twitter, and then I took that picture. Now I'm up to, I think, 170,000, and then our YouTube is blowing up. We've gained 80,000 followers in the last month. So people are enjoying this. They need, I feel like with the conservative movement, we have fostered this environment of, oh, we're conservative, so our activism has to be, you know, better than the left. We can't do crazy things. We have to take the high road. People don't want that anymore. They don't want to see us going out there with a clipboard and not doing something outrageous with it. That's what we need to realize is we need to get in people's faces. We need to tell the truth. We need to expose people. We need to do crazy things. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm not trying to be conceited, but I feel like I come out on top with it every single time. And I'm so proud of myself for it.
Well, hey, there's no shame in that. I mean, let's be perfectly honest, though. I mean, it must be tough. You know, you've already surpassed what I've done on Twitter. How is that possible? I mean, this America hates women, and, you know, there's a glass ceiling keeping women down. I mean, oh, my gosh, you're bigger than me on social media now. This can't be happening. Oh, no. Shut her down.
Yeah. You know, America hates women so much that apparently we can't get our voices out there. But, you know, when I was just on Logan Paul's podcast, Impulsive, they were telling me that Alex Jones is crazy and should be in a mental institution for it. But, you know, why would we tell women that they shouldn't be associated with some certain person that gets their voices out to millions more people? So the whole thing is just, I'm not oppressed. Women aren't oppressed in America. That has been debunked thousands of times. So,
well, obviously I'm joking, and anybody that works hard and has talent can make it in this country. But that's the point, is that it's just, it's so provable that it's ridiculous that we even have to have that debate with these leftists. But to go back to something you said, well, and then there's a whole aspect to say, like, people will say, oh my gosh, Owen, like, you're crazy. Or they'll say, oh, Alex Jones is in a mental institution. Or I have, like, friends and family that think I'm crazy. It's like, okay, you know what, dude? If you think I'm crazy and I belong in a mental institution, let's take 20 minutes to have an intellectual debate and let's see who looks like an idiot. It's not going to end up being me. But you know, you mentioned doing outrageous things. It's not even that you're doing outrageous things per se. It's that the only way, it's like an equilibrium. It's like the only way you're going to get leftists to admit that they want to put conservatives in a concentration camp, the only way you're going to get leftists to admit who they really are, that they'll lie and deceive for their political agenda, the only reason you'll get leftists to admit any of this stuff is when you have to, basically, it's like you have to introduce them to outrageousness so that they feel comfortable putting their own outrageousness on the table.
Yeah, so that's another thing, and you make a great point about it, is that they would never walk up to somebody and say, I support putting conservatives and Trump supporters in concentration camps. You have to present the idea to them so that they feel more comfortable agreeing to it. That's what I did a lot when I went out and I did this video and in this petition, is I went up and I presented it to them in a way that I knew that they would sympathize with. And boy, did they agree with it. I didn't get one person that said, no, I'm not going to sign it.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me, because they'll tell you the exact, I mean, it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like they sit here and they say Trump's a Nazi, Trump's an authoritarian. They are writing legislation that they want every building in the United States destroyed. They don't want you to drive a car. They don't want a cow to fart. They tell you they want to put their political opposition in concentration camps. And then they do a 360 and they say, look at that Nazi over there. And you're like, dude, the only thing that's missing from you being a Nazi is a damn SS Hugo Boss uniform.
Exactly. And, you know, I cannot stress this enough, that as conservatives in this conservative movement, we have to go out there and we have to expose them. There's so much at stake. We have to do that.
I'm telling you, folks, you don't realize the smallest victory can be the biggest victory. The smallest action can turn into a nuclear explosion. You just have to do it.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
So Alex Jones is breaking the censorship matrix today. And the most censored man on social media is now the biggest story on social media because he's on the Joe Rogan podcast. I think they're still live, guys. Are they still live? Flash that on the screen behind me if you can, or on the sides, and we'll just roll that. It's been pretty epic. They've had a lot of fun. And it's just funny because this is going to go down. When this thing concludes, it'll have over 6 million views. And I would say by midnight tonight, it'll have 10 million views. And it's just massively popular and it's penetrating all forms of social media because it's Alex Jones. And that's why they had to censor him, because he's bigger than CNN. Folks, look, it's just a joke. The whole notion that CNN and MSNBC are big, respected news outlets is fake news. They're nothing. They're losers. They're nobodies. It's all fabricated. It's all fake. I mean, I don't want to be mean to Chris Hayes, but the guy is the definition of a cuck. The guy is a mush mouth. I mean, it's just, he's pathetic, man. The guy couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight.
But he's on MSNBC. I'm Chris Hayes.
Who am I? So it's just hilarious. Anybody could go on the Joe Rogan podcast, it'd barely make a ripple. Alex Jones goes on the Joe Rogan podcast, and there's a damn tsunami. A tsunami. And that's how it goes. Now, Caitlin Bennett is my guest. We're dealing with another level of censorship here, Caitlin. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, or if you're on Facebook or not. I was on Facebook for a grand total of 14 hours before they banned me. I believe I have the record for the shortest stint on Facebook before a ban. I did one video. It was called Is Free Speech Dead in America? And then as I knew they would, they banned me. And then it turns out, oh, I was right. Free speech is dead in America. So what's your take on the fact that the most banned man on social media, Alex Jones, is currently the number one story on social media, and how it's more obvious than ever that the social media censorship is real and is politically motivated?
Well, it's real. I mean, I don't know how much more we need to deny it. When I sat in the Google hearing with Alex Jones, I watched as members of Congress, you know, kind of looked at Alex and was like, we're not going to sit here and try to pretend that conservatives are being censored on social media. And they like looked at him, and I could see Alex shuffling in his chair like, you're lying. I can't believe you guys are members of Congress and you're lying about this. But as we go to show, when Laura Loomer got banned, she was the number one trending on Twitter. She was number one trending, I think, a couple weeks ago. And now Alex is the most talked about person, and he's banned off of Twitter as well. And one thing that I keep going back to the podcast with Logan Paul, they tried to make it seem like Alex was a bad person because he was banned on Twitter, but Twitter allows porn on their platform. And I looked at them and I said, what's that say more about Alex or Twitter that they allow porn but not some man's opinions on their platform? So I think the way we think about this and the way that the average person looking on the outside is viewing this that isn't getting censored, they don't really know what it's like. They don't know what's going on. But these other people that don't get censored, and we can go on their podcasts, we can go on their shows, that's how we reach the normal people out there who want to hear our message.
Well, and let me be clear about something else here, because this is not me trashing the porn industry or whatever. For whatever reason, the porn industry is like one of the most woke groups of people out there. I mean, I'm being perfectly honest. I've got a lot of people in porn that follow me and that even reached out to me. So I'm not, it's just like, you have to realize that this isn't about, so the whole notion of censorship, let's go back to television. Why do they censor cursing or graphic images, or what was the real, you know, what was the purpose of this? Well, because kids can watch TV, and, you know, ultimately the parents obviously can't be in charge of the kids. So, you know, you have to have the government be in charge of your children now. So they say, okay, well, let's make sure we don't have, you know, curse words and nudity and all this stuff on television, and it'll protect the children. It'll make it easier on parents. It'll make it easier for people to go on TV and find content and not have to be worried about seeing graphic violence or pornography or whatever. Well, that's happening on social media right now. Again, I'm not complaining. You know, if you want to go onto Twitter and look at pornography or whatever, you have that ability. And fine. But if you want to go on Twitter and follow Alex Jones, well, you're not allowed to do that. So again, it's just another example to me that proves this isn't about protecting people from seeing things that they shouldn't see. This isn't about protecting the innocence of the youth or from children or hate speech or anything like that. It's 110% political. And I just feel that the more they do it, though, middle America and even just real liberals that aren't total leftists are going to have their eyes open to being like, okay, wow. Like, I mean, I do stand for free speech. They're clearly targeting people politically here.
Right. It's absolutely scary. I think that someone, like you said, like a liberal, not an extreme leftist, they do acknowledge exactly what's going on. The conservatives, they know what's going on. But we have to convince the people on the other side that this isn't right. This isn't fair. Because what if the tables were turned? What if it were them who were getting censored? They would be up in arms. They'd be crying about it and everything. But I've noticed when we talk about conservatives being banned on social media platforms, a lot of them cheer. A lot of them say Thank God Owen was taken off Facebook. Thank God Alex was taken off Twitter. And people have actually called for me to be banned on social media as well. So it's really ironic that these people don't value free speech and rights, because it could be turned on them one day.
Well, and here's the thing. And I mean, it's almost impossible to even comprehend until it happens to you. And so I'm not trying to put you under the bus here, but it's like you have such viral power right now on Twitter. I mean, it's like, I mean, your followers keep going up. You've had a couple videos get over 1 million views. I mean, it's like, can you even imagine if that power was just ripped away from you tomorrow?
So I purposely avoid certain topics so that I don't end up like Laura Loomer. I don't end up like Alex Jones on Twitter, because Twitter is where I reach the most people. That's where I go out and I present everything that I find, all the videos that I do, to the other side, because there are a lot of leftists that come after me on Twitter. And it's really just amazing being able to call them out and expose them for who they are on that platform, because then they look at it and they feel stupid. But I could not imagine. One time, my Facebook page, Case on Safe Space, was unpublished, or I got a notification that said it was unpublished, and my heart just dropped, because I was like, I get attacked on Facebook as well. They're going to end up taking everything from me so I can't defend myself, just like they did to Alex. It was so terrible, but come to find out, I think it was just Facebook warning me that if I kept going, that they would take away my page.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like you said, it's. I mean, you see it, you recognize it, and it's just basic psychology. It's like, until it comes to your front door and hits you, you don't actually have the full grasp of what it means or what it feels like. So, you know, like you said, for these people out there that are cheering on the censorship of conservatives, for the people out there that cheer that Alex Jones gets banned, I mean, here's a video idea for you. You could walk around and be like, hey, are you glad that Alex Jones was put in jail for his political speech? And they'd celebrate it. They'd be like, yeah, screw Alex Jones. Let's put him in jail. And it's like, wow. So here you are celebrating censorship of free speech in the West.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one. We have a video, we haven't released it yet, of this man following me around on Venice Beach. And he was literally following me around. And once I got his attention, or I finally paid attention to him, he was just screaming at me that we were spreading bullcrap around and that Alex Jones was crazy. He should be arrested. He should be put in jail. We haven't released it yet, but this is what the media is portraying Alex like. And this is how he can't defend himself. And people in the public, just normal people, see that InfoWars logo and they immediately get so triggered. They're programmed to hate it, and they don't really understand why. I think that might be more dangerous than censoring him, is painting this picture of him and people actually believing it.
Well, that's the thing, though. And then some of them are so deranged, they actually think he's already in jail. Like, I can't tell you. I mean, I'm sure you've had it before. Oh, how's Alex Jones doing now that he's lost his kids? I'm like, he's won, I think, 3 court cases, and he has full custody of his kids. So it's just like, these people are so deranged. So you feel free to take that video idea, Kaylin. I mean, I can't do these things. I can't go live anywhere anymore. You know, the more I do, the more I get banned. So I'm perfectly fine stepping aside and allowing people like you to do that stuff, because, you have more viral power right now on Twitter. And it's just shocking, I think, for people that aren't even paying attention to any of this. It's like, wow, why are people celebrating that somebody would be put in jail for their free speech? Wow, that's an eye-opening thing. So maybe that's the next video from Kaylin Bennett. All right, Kaylin, thank you so much for joining us today. There goes Kaylin Bennett. She's come a long way in a short time, folks. Even the smallest action can lead to victory. Even the smallest victory can be a massive victory. That does it for a War Room. I'll see you tomorrow again on the Alex Jones Show. You stay classy, Info Warriors.